Blog Talk Radio.
One, two, three, four.
Well, another Saturday night, and I ain't got nobody. I got some money, girl, I just got paid. How I wish I had someone to talk to. I'm in an awful way.
Well, what?
I took my baby to the house last night.
What happened?
And what? To my surprise.
Woo!
When we got there, she hit me with the news right between the eyes. Oh, my baby couldn't do a cha-cha-cha. No, she couldn't do a cha-cha-cha. I couldn't
cha-cha-cha.
Easy to cha-cha-cha.
Whoa!
Time you're in the mood to prove it.
beautiful girls all over the world. I could be chasing, but my time would be wasted. They got nothing on you, baby. Nothing on you, baby. They might say hi, and I might say hey, but you shouldn't worry about what they say, 'cause they got nothing on you, baby.
Yeah.
Nothing on you.
Nothing on you, babe. Nothing on you. I know you feel where I'm coming from. Regardless of the things in my past that I've done, most of it really was for the hell of the fun. On a carousel, so around I spun. With no direction, just trying to get some. Trying to chase skirts, living in the summer sun. And so I lost more than I had ever won. And honestly, I ended up with none.
So much nonsense is on my conscience. I'm thinking maybe I should get it out. And I don't wanna sound redundant, but I was wondering if there was something that you wanna know. But never mind that, we should let it go.
We let it go.
We don't wanna be a TV episode.
TV episode.
And all the bad thoughts, just let it go.
Go,
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 go.
Beautiful girls all over the world. I could be chasing, but my time would be wasted. They got nothing.
Nothing on you, babe. Nothing on you.
Nothing on you.
Nothing on you, babe. Nothing on you.
They might say hi, and I might say hey, but you shouldn't worry about what they say. They got nothing on you.
Nothing on you, babe. Nothing on you.
Nothing on you.
Nothing on you, babe. Nothing on you. Be another one. I've been around and I never seen another one. Because your style ain't really got nothing on. And you wild when you ain't got nothing on. Baby, you the whole package. Plus you pay your taxes. And you keep it real while the mothers stay plastic. You're my Wonder Woman, call me Mr. Fantastic. Stop. Now think about it.
I've been to London, I've been to Paris.
Yeah.
Even where there is Tokyo. Back home down the street, Georgia. Yeah. To New Orleans. Yeah. But you always do the show. And just like that, girl, you got me throw.
Got me throw.
Like a Nintendo 64. If you never knew, well, now you know.
No,
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 no.
Beautiful girls,
yeah,
all over the world.
All over.
I could be chasing, but my time would be wasted. They got nothing on you,
nothing on you, babe. Nothing on you.
Nothing on you,
nothing on you, babe. Nothing on you.
They might say hi, and I might say hey, but you shouldn't worry about what they say, 'cause they got nothing on you,
nothing on you, babe. Nothing on you.
Nothing on you.
Nothing on you, babe. Nothing on you. Everywhere I go, I'm always hearing your name. And no matter where I'm at, girl, you make me wanna sing. Whether a bus or a plane, or a car or a train, no other girls on my brain, and you the one to blame.
Beautiful girls,
yeah,
all over the world.
All over.
I could be chasing, but my time would be wasted.
Why?
They got nothing on you,
nothing on you, babe. Nothing on you.
Nothing on you,
nothing on you, babe. Nothing on you.
They might say hi, and I might say hey.
Hello.
But you shouldn't worry about what they say.
Why?
'Cause they got nothing on you.
Nothing on you, babe. Nothing on you.
Nothing on you.
Nothing on you, babe. Nothing on you.
Yeah.
about disaster in the world, and it made me wonder where I'm going. There's so much darkness in the world, but I see beauty left in you, girl. And what you give me lets me know that I'll be alright.
Cause if your love was all I had in this life, well, that would be enough until the end of time. So rest your weary heart and relax your mind, cause I'm gonna love you, girl, until the end of time.
You got me singing, time being your girl, and what you give me lets me know that we'll be alright.
Yeah.
Hey, Peace, peace. Welcome to High Frequency Radio Network. It is Tuesday, March the 18th, 2014. You are on The Debt Show, hosted by your own brother Sharif. Peace and greetings to all. We give thanks to the Creator for giving us another opportunity to make it here today. Another opportunity to bless the community with information that will help uplift them economically. We got a pretty good show going on today. We'll be doing some freestyling questions and answers. We have a couple of testimonials waiting in the queue. As always, I have a few guests that may or may not show up, just to bless The Debt Show with their presence and their information. I have the priest here coming up at the top of the hour. He's going to bless us with prayer each and every show. We can't deal with the issue of debt without having spiritual balance. So in about 5 minutes, the priest is going to lead us off in prayer. We have a bunch of announcements to make, a lot of good news to bring to the community, a lot of updates, a lot of successes. And again, we thank you all for being here on The Debt Show. Call in number 424-222-5250, 424-222-5250. If you have a question, comment, concern, testimonial, you can press star 1. I urge that you do that quickly so you can be one of the first in line. Demon. I style the debt demon. It is one disease that is responsible for the destruction of wealth in this country, the destruction of family, the destruction of parents and children alike. So in order that you may be able to handle the information that you may receive on this show and the information you may receive in your mailbox, you have to have spiritual balance. You have to have intervention from the Creator above. And you need universal support to be able to demonstrate any of the information you hear on this show. So we're going to bring on the priest, and we ask that he lead us in prayer. And we ask that everybody bow their heads and take a moment to give praises to the Almighty. Priest, go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Shalom Aleichem. We shall lead off with our Father prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day the daily bread. Forgive our debts as we forgive all of our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thy is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'll lead also in the heat. Okay, all right. I just want to thank everyone for coming on to the show today. Thank you, Brother Sharif, for having me lead in prayer. I love everyone. Love you. I pray that Yahweh strengthen and bless everyone to understand how to navigate themselves through this debt demon, set down the Leviathan. Because this is all about, you are in the sea of Leviathan, and Leviathan is a sea monster that's gathering all of your health, wealth, and well-being. I pray to Yahweh strengthen every last one of you. Yahweh love you, and so do I. And Shalom Aleichem, family. Have a good afternoon and a good morning.
Peace, peace, peace. As always, we give thanks and honor to the priest, Elishua, who is a firm fixture of the Det Show family. Wherever you see the king, Sharif, you will see the priest, Elishua. Because I realize personally that it takes spirituality to deal with many of the issues plagued by our country and our people. So I want to thank him for showing up today, and he will be here every show to offer prayer. Also, the priest is available for consultation. As you know, he is a metaphysics master, holistic medicine master, and definitely a master of spirituality. This man has helped Brother Sharif bring out the sponge, so to speak. And if you want to reach the priest and obtain a consultation, you can do so. I will give off the email addresses here in the next minute to instruct you on how you can reach the priest and obtain some spiritual intervention. All right, I got a new email address for you. I know the staff at consumer-lawgroup.com email address appears to be a little bit difficult for people to type in, so I have a simpler email address for everyone. And that email address is going to be detshow, D-E, show, D-E-B-T, show, at yahoo.com. That email address will forward to the staff at consumer-lawgroup.com email address. So they're both one and the same. This makes it easier to flow off the lips. And this email address makes it easier for you to type into your browser, so to speak. So it's detshow at yahoo.com. Detshow at yahoo.com. For those who are a little bit more technical savvy, the main email address is staff, S-T-A-F-F, at consumer dash, okay, not underscore, dash, lawgroup.com. You want to place yourself on that email address? There will be a lot of interesting things going on this week, a few webinars, a few events, and information relating to the debt industry will be sent out from that email to everyone on that list. So I urge that you get on that list if you want the information coming from this show. Also, you have the network email address, which is highfrequencyblogtalk@gmail.com. And you can also be placed on that contact list as well. All right. So we're going to get into a few things here. I have a couple of guests, a couple of testimonials to share with the family. As you know, my show specifically and only is brought to you in the spirit of love, peace, freedom, economically, of course, and the pursuit of justice. And this show is for all races, all colors, all creed, regardless of religious background, ideology, and things of that nature. My show is open to everyone. It is not geared toward a specific group of people. It is specifically for the people in its entirety. We're going to go at the top. I got a lot of announcements going on this week. I apologize for last week. I announced that I was going to be doing the Thursday evening show. I ran into an emergency and was unable to do that on Thursday evening. For those of you that appeared there, I sincerely apologize. I am wanting to make the transition from mornings to evenings to allow people from all across this country, including overseas, to have an opportunity to participate live in the show, and that's been based on a multiplicity of emails received where the request has been made for me to do so. I'm going to start that evening show on April the 3rd, which is Thursday, the first Thursday in April. The Debt Show will be going to evenings on Thursday from 8 to 10 p.m. If you notice, that is an adjustment in the length of time of the show, which is normally 4 hours. We'll be going to a two-hour show. So mark it on your calendars, April 3rd, Thursday, 8 to 10. The Debt Show, hosted by Brother Sharif, will no longer be on the mornings at Tuesday at 11. That slot will be filled by Yusef based on his own desires of who he wants to put into the morning slot. But I will make that full transition to evenings, April 3rd, Thursday, 8 to 10 p.m. here on High Frequency Radio, same channel, different time. I want to give a shout out to hisadvocates.org. As you know, I featured this religious group on my show 2 weeks ago. Words can't describe the spirit and intent of this group. It is a religious group that focuses on the debt crisis. They deal with matters of foreclosure, debt collection, bankruptcy, and also the underpin of that organization is spirituality. I had an opportunity, and I was greeted with warmth and great spirit. I appeared on their show last night. For those of you here on the show, you can listen to that show in its entirety at hisadvocates.org. Their website has an abundance of information, everything that you will need to know about debt and spirituality is clear on that website, and you should definitely visit with them, visit on their shows. They've allowed me to go over there and share the knowledge and wisdom, and, you know, I have to say that I was greeted like a king, and that feeling is always appreciated and honored when others outside of your community and others outside of your race appreciate the information that you are able to deliver. Sometimes at home, as men and women, sometimes we speak to our kids and our family, and it appears to be redundant. They're used to hearing us. But then when an outsider or a stranger comes and offers some information, it appears to be listened upon or taken with great appreciation. I'm not saying I'm not appreciated here at High Frequency Radio. I know my listeners love me here, and I get emails to support that. But I definitely want to say it was a awesome show that I hosted over there. We're going to do some things collectively. He wants me to appear in some of his videos over there for his people. I want him to interface with our community over here. They're doing some absolutely astounding things over there from one end to the other. And this is what I say about religious societies, you know, that going to church or going to whatever edifice you frequent, if they're not teaching you about economics and civics, they're not helping you. The feel good and the happy talk and the hope and change talk, that shouldn't last but for a short time, because reality sinks in when you go home and in that mailbox, you're faced with the issue of debt. So if they're not teaching you how to rid yourself of debt, then I think you should consider where you are with respects to your spirituality. And this is why my show is about individualism, okay? It's about doing things and taking matters into your own hand, not dependent on any society, any person, any guru, any leader, any swift talker, any Johnny come late, or any other affectionate term that I can remember from my parents and grandparents. I think they used to call them jacklegs, Johnny come late. So I want to give a shout out to that group. We will be doing a lot of things together. They have invited me to fly out and do a series of advertising webinars and seminars with their group that will be posted in video form there. And I also will have a copy of that on the website, the new website for the Death Show, that will be completed within the next week or two. And I will bring that information to the family. Also, I want to give a shout out to the New York Power Group out there in New York doing some great things. I believe Maynard is here. He's going to share another success story. I have a Dr. James that is here who's going to share another testimonial and success story based on this show, based on the webinars that Brother Sharif has done. And the reason why I bring that information to you is not to impress me, because I'm vetted, okay? I know that I know what I know. I'm sharing it with the family, for the most part, for free, so that you are able to know what you know. So I bring these testimonials to you on a weekly basis because simply many of the gurus and leaders that are out there absolutely do not. They'll talk a good game. They never walk it. They'll sell you a pie in the sky, but you'll never get the pie or the sky. And they never, ever, ever, ever have a testimonial on a weekly basis. They don't even get it on an annual basis. They can't have one person come on their show that's not manufactured, of course, and to tell you that the information received, that the consultation received, that the advising received, that the documentation supported by the concept that they push upon you works. Now, for those of you that have been on Brother Sharif's show, you've had all of that. You've had people call in that I didn't know they were calling in, and it's told you under no uncertain terms that I did what Brother Sharif asked me to do or what he instructed me to do. I've used the documentation that he's provided to me, and it worked. If they're not able to tell you that, turn the radio off. Turn your computer off. I'm killing all the nonsense. There's a lot of misconceptions out there. There are a lot of processes out there. I've challenged each and last one of those gurus and leaders to come on my show and demonstrate that what they're teaching or preaching actually works. That invitation is always open. It is an open letter to all of them, that if you have some process or procedure that you can share that will uplift the people, that actually works, bring it on the show. I'm not a master of all things. I just know that I master this death game based on my experiences, based on my knowledge, my education, and my own strategies employed to do so. I've shared many of those things with this family, and there are many who will never call. There are many who will call to show their gratitude and to share with the family that what we do on this show works more than not. How many seminars do you have to go to? How many years do you have to go to these seminars? How many classes do you have to take before you start getting some success? Well, it appears as though in these two testimonials that you will hear will be two out of probably a dozen every week on this show. No, it doesn't take months. It doesn't take years. It doesn't take decades. The information that I am teaching you on this show takes days. And you're going to hear that here today. Now, there's a lot of talk out there about foreclosure prevention, foreclosure consultants. I want to clear the air and make it real clear. This show, the Debt Show, is not about foreclosure or foreclosure prevention, okay, or foreclosure consulting. It has not a thing to do with foreclosure. In fact, I want to tell you, and this might hurt your feelings, that if you are in foreclosure by a legitimate creditor or mortgagee or lender, there is absolutely nothing that I can do for you. Sorry. But this is what I will tell you. Most of you that think you're in foreclosure are not in foreclosure. And these gurus and these leaders that tell you foreclosure and foreclosure prevention doesn't work or there's no remedy for it, they don't know what they're talking about because they don't know the legal definition of foreclosure. I urge that you look at it and read it so you understand what it is and what it is not. Okay? Most of you are being pursued by debt collectors. And many of the leaders and the gurus out there that does foreclosure prevention are not successful. You are absolutely right. And many of them that has tried to do it has failed because they don't understand what foreclosure is and what debt collection is. Okay? We have to be a master of an avenue. And that avenue we have to choose to ride on until we know it from front to back. We can't be jacks of all trades and masters of none. So when you hear these, I had some information from a listener that was at, I'm not going to mention the name, one of the gurus that's been around a long time that's doing foreclosure prevention and things of that nature. And absolutely, I seen some of the information and I was absolutely disgusted. And this particular guru charges $8,500 for information that is useless, and they deem it foreclosure prevention. You don't know what foreclosure is. Most of the gurus haven't even read the legal definition of foreclosure, okay? And I urge that you read it. I'm not going to read it. Go back on my previous shows. I've described to you what foreclosure is and what it isn't. Most of you are in a debt collection activity, and for that, my show is the perfect weapon, and it is vetted, and it's successful. They can't prove that to you, move on. All right, let me go with a shout-out to the New York Power Group. Brother Maynard is here, one of the students that Brother Sharif had taken under his wing, along with four others, and they're doing magnificent things in eliminating illegitimate debt. Okay, that's again, if you don't have a guru that's brought up another mini guru, you're not really a guru or a leader, are you? If you don't have any documentation to point to that you have designed, that you have drafted, based on your knowledge and your experience, you're not too much of a leader or a guru, are you? But if you always point to somebody else's documentation or somebody else's documentary or somebody else's passage or somebody else's scripture or somebody else's opinion or somebody else's ideology, how can you be a leader or a guru? You're neither. Let me finish off with the announcements. Our brother Amin-Ra, who is one of the other proteges of Brother Sharif, hosts his Monday event every Monday at the National Black Theater in New York City, 2031 Fifth Avenue, New York, 10035, in between 125th and 126th Street, every Monday, 7 p.m. If y'all don't know who that is, that's the brother that's appeared on the call that I've helped with his cases. They're going quite well. In fact, I have an update. He's going to trial. Imagine that. What guru is able to get you to trial? The brother's going to trial on two properties whereby he's beat the living snot out of the debt collectors that most other gurus would call foreclosures and lenders and mortgagees. We totally have them naked on the operating table saying, you're not a creditor, so let's take that shirt off. Let's get your pants off and really strip you down to who you are. You're a debt collector. Now, all the documentation that you've proffered is fraudulent, is it? Everything was lies. You have to compensate us for that. And he's going to trial. Now, for those of you that know, and for all the leaders and gurus out there that don't know, listen up. You really get the trial, okay? Usually there's an offer put on the table that's beneficial to the homeowner or the alleged debtor. So I doubt if it goes to trial, but it's scheduled for trial in a couple of months, and I'll keep you posted. Again, that's giving you information based on what is taught on this show, not a process, not a procedure, okay? So Brother Amen will be doing his thing. He teaches on civics, economics, health, and spirituality every Monday. I've had reports. You've been on my show. The reports that have come back is saying that the brother does outstanding job. I've given that brother almost everything I can give to him. Well, I can't say everything. I've given him a lot. He's known a lot. I don't take any credit from him, but I have made him a choice of a protege because he's the next generation of the debt show. He's the next generation of the youth coming up and teaching and uplifting the people. And you need to support this brother if you're in New York and you need a family or a group to learn economics, civics, health, and spirituality. You need to go visit the brother, 2131 Fifth Avenue, New York, 10035, every Monday, 7 p.m. All right? By way of announcements, this week I will have on Thursday, March the 20th, a webinar, March the 20th, 7 p.m. I will send an email blast out to everybody that is on that list. It will be a $25 donation webinar. For those that are not as economically stable as the rest, this webinar will be an introduction to debt. I will go into what debt is and what it is not and give you an understanding within a two-hour time frame of you having an clear understanding of what debt is. Not mixing things, process, procedures, laws. I will give you a clear definition of what debt is, an introduction to debt. That is Thursday, this coming Thursday, 7 p.m. You want to definitely reserve your seats by sending an email to debtshow@yahoo.com. Also this week, Saturday, March 22nd, FCRA Part 3 will commence. For those of you that was in Part 1 and Part 2, Part 3 is going to be a necessary for you to complete the process of cleaning up your credit and making money while doing so. Now, as most of the gurus and leaders are not equipped with, you have heard the testimonials on how Part 1 and Part 2 has already cleaned up many of the listeners and their families' credit. You have heard of increased credit scores. You have heard of deletion of erroneous accounts, and there's a process to do that. It's not easy. You don't find it in a book. It's based on the personal experiences of Brother Sharif. I know how to do that. Okay? And webinar 1 and 2 on the FCRA, cleaning up your credit and making money while doing so, has already done exactly that. And you have had testimonials on this show of people that has done it the exact way that I've told them to do and received the exact results that I told them they would have. What else can I do? I don't need 20 webinars to do it, just 3. The third one will be this Saturday. That will be the last of that webinar series. And let me make people understand the difference in me and most others out there. I subscribe to a form of instructional scaffolding, and I want to explain to you what that is. Instructional scaffolding is a learning process designed to promote a deeper level of learning. Okay, so scaffolding is a support given during the learning process, which is tailored to the needs of the student with the intention of helping the students achieve his or her learning goals. Okay, that's what scaffolding is. Most of your teachers and your leaders and your geek and your gurus don't have that ability. They speak on too many topics, and you're not able to understand and comprehend the one topic that they're supposed to be teaching you. Okay? You need to look into that. The scaffolding, S-C-A-F-F-O-L-D-I-N-G. In order for you to be an effective teacher, you have to use that instructional form of teaching. This is why I have webinars in series. I don't have a webinar that is a smorgasbord or a salad and throw everything in there and expect you to master any one of them. I focus on an area, and I master that area. I can talk on any matter. I can speak in an educated way or in any topic you would like to engage me in. But what I do is I take people from A to Z, and I let them master one thing before they go on and challenge another. Spread that around. Tell some of the gurus to employ that procedure, and they'll be a little bit more successful. All right, Sunday. So this weekend, I have two webinars going on. Sunday, March 23rd, 7 p.m. I'm sorry, 3 p.m. Saturday, the FCRA webinar is going to be at 3 p.m. Sunday, I will be doing a webinar, an introduction to the TCPA. What is that, Brother Sharif? That is the Telephone Consumer Protection Act. For those of you that are getting phone calls from debt collectors, I'm going to show you how to get about $500 to $1,500 per one of those calls. What other show shows you how to get money instead of spending money? Okay? No, I'm not having a webinar where I'm charging you $5,000. I will at some point. For those of you that are serious, that really want some serious information, I can charge that much and get it, because I can demonstrate to you how to get it, okay? So I can show you under 47 U.S.C. 227, look it up. That is a 1991 law, not a 2011, 12, 13, or 14. This law has been on the books since 1991. Where are your gurus and your leaders? Do they know about the consumer protection laws? They don't, because they're not talking about this. So it's called the Telephone Consumer Protection Act. And it protects you from certain phone calls made to your cell phone and or residence without a permissible purpose, mainly debt collectors. In many cases, they don't have a right to call you on your phone. You want to learn about that and use your phone to get $500 to $1,500 a call? Name somebody out there that's teaching you that. And in an instructional scaffolding way, okay? Name them. So this Sunday, the donation for the Saturday and Sunday event is $150. I'm going to share with you testimonials on here where you're going to have two people that listened to one seminar at a donation of $150 and got rid of several thousand dollars in debt on one webinar. So for those of you complaining about $150 donation, I don't even have anything to say. Saturday, FCRA. Sunday, TCPA. Thursday, Introduction to Debt, $25 donation webinar. For all three of those webinars, you need to email us immediately, because those seats will fill up, at the debtshow@yahoo.com. Debtshow@yahoo.com. That's it by way of webinars. Let me let you know some other news. Brother Sharif will be hitting five cities here in the next 3 months. I've received, I can't even the number of emails, requesting the information that's provided on this show to several churches, several religious groups, different communities of racial background, and I've been requested to appear along with the priests, because as everyone knows and is learning, and when you go to websites like hisadvocates.org, you have to have a spiritual foundation to be able to receive the information that I give you, because without it, it is very bitter. It will make you angry. It will make you mad, and those emotions will offset any success you will ever have. So I will be hitting five cities and states. Get on the email contact list to see if there is a city or state that you are residing in, so you will be able to appear. Please do not forget, in April, we are also doing a high-frequency radio network seminar, the first live in person in Atlanta, Georgia. Get on the email list so you can be apprised of that event as well. So the oven is getting hot. The people want the information. The people want the economic relief. All I talk about on this show is maintaining your economic stability or obtaining some economic stability. I don't know what else to do. I'm bringing you the Spiritual Foundation, so you're getting that as well. I don't know what else to do. If you want to run and go get the pie in the sky, the happy talk, this show is not for you. And it's not for everybody. Okay? Definitely not for everybody. All right. I'm going to take a let's do a minute break. I'm going to bring in my testimonials and my callers. We're going to go into the show on some national media information, and then we'll get into the questions and answers and see what the community has a need for. If you have any questions, again, 424-222-5250, press 1, and you'll be placed in queue. Stand by, guests. We'll be right back. Peace, peace. Welcome to High Frequency Radio. This is The Debt Show, hosted by Brother Sharif. All right, we're back. I'm going to bring in Brother Maynard. Brother Maynard is a part of the New York Power Group. He is a minister. He is a teacher. He is a father. He is a businessman. He started this group some years ago to help his people, because he realized that for our mainstream edifices and churches, they create these big arenas, these coliseums. The pastors are flying around in jets and helicopters, and the people are going home and their furniture is on the street. What kind of religion is that? And that's all religion. They're not teaching you civics and economics, but they are teaching you economics, because you're paying tithes and offerings and building funds and donations, and they're the ones being enriched. Sounds like our country, doesn't it? Brother Maynard's going to come in. He shared a very interesting story with me based on the information and the webinars and the teachings that I have proffered on the show. And for those of you that have any doubt that the information given on this show works, I'm going to let him share with you a story. Brother Maynard, are you there?
Yes, I am, brother.
Peace, brother. Go into your story. Just share with them the story you shared with me last night. And I'm sure this information will help uplift the people listening so they can get on the right path and understand that if you do as instructed and you have a spiritual foundation and you're surrounded by people of like kind, accomplishments can be attained. So share with us your story, brother.
Yes, well, first of all, I want to say thank you to you, Brother Sharif, because the information that you have given us is just a treasure trove of knowledge. The webinars, I have to admit, I've only listened to them twice. I have at least several more times to listen to them. Each time I do listen to it, I learn so much more. And I also want to give a shout out to the priest, thanking him for his spiritual guidance and his wisdom. Well, first of all, I have members in my group who are from Connecticut. I'm in New York, and I do not know all the procedures involved in Connecticut, and I've been burnt, and our members have been burnt in Connecticut. In Connecticut, they have it's a judicial state, but they have something called strict foreclosure. And strict foreclosure is a judgment is given for foreclosure. They set a law date. And at the law date, title changes hands. 2 weeks, a marshal will put you out. Well, this particular situation is where we file the consumer notice that you, Brother Sharif, have shown us what to do. And the debt collector did not respond. The law date came. We put a motion in to alert the court that the debt collector has not responded, and there should be a suspension of the strict foreclosure. We did not hear anything from our motion, and as far as we know, we lost the property. And the homeowner was packing. He was in tears the whole weekend. I went away for the weekend to just to refresh and recharge my batteries. And he's calling me and asking me for assistance. What do I do? My family, I have kids. What do I do? And it's very difficult for me because everything I've asked him to do, he has done. And I did everything I could. So we thought we lost the property, and we were making arrangements for a quiet title and for doing other things. Today morning, he called me to tell me he got a notice from the court that they received our motion to stay the foreclosure, and it was stayed. A new hearing is set for next week, and this was truly, truly a blessing. And, you know, I'm so appreciative for this, and I know I'm speaking on behalf of this brother. He's very appreciative. I know we got him because they are a debt collector. They can't foreclose. And they hadn't even answered the consumer notice to validate and verify the debt. So that's just my testimonial for today. And there's numerous others, but this one meant a whole lot to us. And so I just wanted to share that with the community.
Beautiful, beautiful. And we thank you, Brother Maynard, for sharing that. And this is just one of many. And this is not for me. I get these testimonials all the time. I get tens of them a day based on the consultation, based on the information, based on my knowledge. And let me explain and give a small disclaimer. We're not attorneys on this call. We don't do what they deem as any practice of anything. I don't know how you can practice something for an extended amount of time and not master it. But we don't give out any legal advice or any legal consultations or legal anything, okay? We're not attorneys. We're not debt elimination companies. We discuss what law is, and we discuss a lot of legal information, but definitely don't take anything we say as any type of legal advice. But this is one of the examples of the information that's received on the show. This is one of the examples on how the gurus will never, ever get you to have testimonials like this. I listen to a lot of shows. I've listened to a lot of people, and rarely, and I mean rarely, do I ever hear someone come on these gurus and leaders and so-called shows and say, hey, I did what you told me to do, and it worked. So for those of you that say that, well, foreclosure prevention doesn't work, or it's not going to be allowed to work, you know, I say just listen to my shows. And you will hear someone come on this show that will tell you, hey, that worked. Because you don't understand foreclosure, and you don't understand debt collection. And until you do, those kind of statements will always be made. So I thank you, Brother Maynard. We are happy. The universe is definitely smiling upon the brother. I don't know who he is. He was just blessed indirectly by third, fourth, fifth party information that derived from this show. And he was blessed by it. And this is what I talk about, community, common unity. If you break down the word etymology-wise, common unity. This is what Brother Maynard and the New York Power Group is demonstrating, common unity. This is what hisadvocate.org and Amin Ra and his group is demonstrating, common unity. Until we employ common unity, we're going to fail individually. And I think the priest has eloquently stated or demonstrated or translated with the word individe you all. So I thank you for that testimonial. I'm going to go on to our Dr. James, who line is open, 314-6712. Dr. James, are you there?
Yes, sir, Brother Sharif. How are you, sir?
All right, I'm doing well. I met Dr. James. He emailed me. He listened to the show some time ago. And, you know, he's a doctor, a physician, I believe. And he's acquired, you know, several properties, investment properties, and he was talking to me about trying to maintain possession of those. And we talked about a lot of different things. He done a consultation with me. I gave him some direction and some resource, okay, directional instructions. And what he decided to do was, since he had so much going on, I always urge all of my listeners, all of my participants, to study yourself, to study things for yourself and get an understanding yourself, okay? I don't want to be dependent on, I can't answer every email, although I do. I can't help everybody in the world. That's why people like Maynard and hisadvocates.org and Amin Ra and even Dr. James and even the gentleman that was a recipient of the information that prevented his house from going into foreclosure as he was packing, he's going to now take an interest in studying things for himself because he's going to want to understand how did that happen. So I met Dr. James, and I said, Dr. James, this is what you need to do. You need to get my whole webinar series, and you need to invest the time in and study. There is documentation that I have in those webinars that are the documents that are being used based on the testimonials you've heard on this call. I'm not saying it's a silver bullet, but it's got some garlic in it because it's killing a lot of vampire foreclosures. Okay, so Dr. James had obtained the webinars, and not even a week later, he began to employ, along with the knowledge that he was receiving from the webinars, he began to employ some of the documentations that supported the webinars. And he sent me, very excitingly, okay, and this wasn't done in any surreptitious fashion, okay, it was done basically based on the information in the webinar. And he sent me a webinar that was just unbelievable. He said, Brother Sharif, it works. Okay. So I said, what worked? And he showed me some of the documents that was received by the debt collector only days later. See, when you know what you're doing, it doesn't take them a month, 2 months, 3 months. It doesn't take a year, a decade for you to get some relief. It's almost instantaneously, okay? And does it take a week or two? When you really know how to put pen to paper, and not only that, but put the spirit on the pen that writes the paper, you will get relief immediately. So, Dr. James, share with us what happened with you, your testimonial, and any other information you will have to sort of uplift the family.
Well, Brother Sharif, let me just say that I am not a physician. My friends call me the doctor, so it's just a little title, a little dame, a little surname that they call me there. But I started off with your information, and I had been receiving dunning letters. And I have to admit that I had kind of let my credit go for several years and really wasn't paying much attention to it at all. I was really doing everything cash with regards to the way I've been living my life. Some of these debt collectors, I don't even remember. I did pull my credit reports per your instructions on the webinar, and I didn't even see any of these debt collectors even on my credit report. So I started off by just sending the notice of dispute and validation letter on the dunning letters received. I got a total of six, four of which were by this company, this debt collector, Portfolio Recovery something Associates, I believe. And I got two letters from them last week on two alleged debts that I don't even recall. But the first two letters I got a response back with them within a week. Both of those accounts were with Southwestern Bail, apparently. And one was a collection account of $1,200, and one was for $800. Well, they had sent me a letter back, two letters, stating that their response from their after their investigation of those two accounts, that they have zeroed out closed those accounts. And I was just shocked. Just by how powerful that letter that you shared with the family was, and I was kind of amazed that it worked. And I've got to admit, I was a little disappointed when you informed me that I probably would not be able to sue them for the $1,000 since they had zeroed out the balances, because I was looking forward to collecting that $2,000. but here's the question, and I still haven't given up on that. Now, I had emailed you those letters, and as you see on the letters, it says James O'Kelly on one, and it has Edward O'Kelly on the other. Well, the dunning letters both say James O'Kelly. Now, here's something else I noticed, Brother Sharif. On the account numbers that are mentioned on those letters where they zeroed out those two different accounts, those account numbers are different from the account numbers that were on the dunning letters. So, therefore, can I still make a claim and sue those turkeys? Because I don't know if they really zero up these accounts as they claim, because, one, my middle name is Edward, but the dunning letters say James O'Kelly. So why would they send me one of the letters says Edward O'Kelly, and then both have non-matching account numbers that were on the two dunning letters that they sent me. So what's your take on that?
My take is any unfair or deceptive practice, whether it be account number, a name, the amount of the debt, misrepresentation of the debt, you have a cause of action. That is my opinion on it. And you're always going to have different account numbers because the debt collector is always going to sign their generated account number. And this is where you have double entries on your credit report, because you have the original creditor reporting one debt and an account number with an entirely different amount. And then you have the debt collector hitting you, pinging your credit report with another account with an entirely different account number and an entirely different amount. So absolutely, you should go after them offensively on any deceptive act, any deceptive statement, any misrepresentation, false, under 1692E. That's what you need to read. Anything that is misrepresentation or misleading is a cause of action. And these debt collectors' letters, I'm telling you, you can take one letter and probably make a few thousand dollars off of each letter. Okay? So what I would go back and do is say, what is that account number? What is that? What does that account go to? Okay, the different names on the letters, It could be how your credit report reads. You know, a lot of times when we apply for credit, we'll apply in one name. We might use our middle initial. We might use our first name or last name. You know, that's not uncommon. It's going to purge with the Social Security number connected to the credit bureau anyway. So that's not really something that you can go after. But any information within it, you have to be able to tie that debt collector to the alleged original account. And if you can't do that, that's a cause of action. Some of these debt collectors, depending on if they bought the account or they're collecting on the account or depending on the way they acquire the account, they will sometimes list them as a creditor or sometimes they will list who the original creditor was. So definitely email me. We'll talk about that and give you some offense there, see if you can go after them. But this is what I'm talking about. Dr. Kelly invested several hundred dollars, and within a week, okay, tell the gurus to call in. Within a week, he's got rid of $2,000 in debt with one letter, a stamp. Did you send it certified, bro?
Yes, sir.
Oh, certified. So that might cost you $5. $5 in a letter in a webinar, and he got rid of $2,000 in debt. He's not even finished. And then that's not including offense. That's just defense. Hey, take it off. That's $2,000 gone. Now he's going to do some offense and probably get another $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. So, you know, that's your testimonials for you to understand that I'm not sure, this information, a lot of it is free on High Frequency Radio. You can go into the archives, and if you want to take the time to learn, you can learn this information, or if you want to get an instructional webinar that will take you step by step, okay, not for the next 5-10 years, but step by step, I think the doctor probably listened to every, he got every last one of them. He's not even done yet, and he's just saying, this is the first couple of webinars that I listened to, and I deployed some of the documentation to the debt collectors, and the first time, not that he got one webinar and it told him how to do something, and then the gurus come back and be like, oh, I found another piece to the puzzle. Let me tell you what else to do. Oh, stop doing that. You can't do that anymore. So let me tell you another piece. This is how it goes, and it's just ridiculous. So the brother deployed what I told him to do, what I instructed him to do the first time, and it worked the first time. Brother Mandar told you he did what I employed him to do the first time, and that foreclosure was probably $300,000 property. And where did he get that information from? A webinar that was a couple of hundred dollars at best? I mean, what are y'all talking about? What are these gurus talking about? What are these $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 packages about? What is this information about? What is it about? Y'all make the decision. I appreciate you, Dr. James. Email me. We'll give you some offense there. But to the listeners, there's your testimonials. They're coming every week, all right? They're coming weekly. I didn't ask for those. The people are just emailing me based on the relief that they're getting, the relief that they're getting economically. $2,000, debt gone, one letter. You do the math. All right, let's go into some current news. Some news on the national mainstream media. All right. I think I have one story to share with you. Seems like the people are crying out for the government, the Justice Department, to bring some criminal action against the banksters. What's going to happen? But at any rate, some senators are squeezing upon Mr. Holder to take some action against their obvious fraudulent acts upon the people, okay? But I think our government's more concerned about lining their pockets with these billion-dollar settlement agreements that the homeowners get none of, okay? Well, let me say this. Speaking of homeowners, out in California, the people got tired. This is why I say black, white, green, and yellow. You have to come together. You got to get tired. They decided to, I believe it's California. Let me make sure. They decided to sue the Attorney General. I believe it's Kamala Harris, maybe. Or it's in Arizona. They decided to sue, let me find the article, the Attorney General for diverting the $350 million in funds that was the result of a settlement agreement for homeowners. And they decided to sue the Attorney General. They sued the governor. There it is. Let's read this article. Los Angeles, all right? And I want y'all to listen closely of who brought the suit. And when I talk about opening up our minds and our hearts to other nationalities, to other races, to other colors, to other creeds, and stop this we own the world crap, because we don't, okay, we're all victims of the debt society. I'm going to read to you the article, Black and Latino Church Leaders and the National Asian American Coalition sue Governor Brown. And demand that the $350 million unlawfully diverted from the Attorney General bank settlement be dedicated to homeowners facing foreclosure. So out in Los Angeles, California, they went after the head boon coon, which, if those of you don't know civics, the governor's is the man. Okay? They're suing the governor saying we want that $350 million to be directed and be utilized by the homeowners. They were the victims of the crime, not the state. Okay? So that settlement was secured by Kamala Harris out there in California. She's also going after the legal society. She don't care who you are. She's going after you if you're committing these atrocities against the people. So, but look what we have here. And look what coincides with what Brother Sharif is trying to do. Bring all the people together. Black, Latino, and Asian got together. Black, Latino, and Asian got together and sued the governor. That's all I'm going to say. Okay? For all you people out there that, you know, that owns the world and think that the land belongs to you and, you know all that other puritanical stuff and, you know, you can't be held accountable for anything that you do, just read that article. Change your mindset. All right? So that's news worth mentioning. Let's see what else is going on here. Three Democratic lawmakers asked to discuss with Attorney General Holder of the Justice Department, you know, efforts to prosecute mortgage fraud. Elizabeth Warren, Elijah Cummings, and Maxine Waters. Two of them are melanated people. One of them is of Caucasian descent, allegedly. All right. And they said the FBI and the Justice Department is not doing enough. They're doing money settlements, but that money is not trickling down to the people. They're not even setting up shows. I mean, this is what I'm talking about. Here we are offering the community, myself, this network, is offering the community more information than your government that received millions of dollars based on the fraud that was committed against you. And here, High Frequency Radio Network, the debt show hosted by Brother Sharif, is giving you more information without any government funding, and many of you don't even donate, but we'll go to church and we'll make sure the pastor has a new Bentley and helicopter so he can fly from Coliseum to Coliseum preaching in you to feel good. And you going home, losing your house, being sued by debt collectors, being garnished, being kicked out of your communities, being kicked out of your school districts, being taken advantage of, being lied to, being raped. We're not funded by the government here. We can't even get donations from the people that listen. Pun intended. This is ridiculous. But if we have a building fund somewhere in some edifice or we want to, you know, repave a parking lot, they'll raise $100,000 in a week. But here you're getting education. People like Dr. James is sending out one letter and relieving themselves of $2,000. What can he do with that $2,000? Pay his bills, buy some clothes, buy some food, invest in his education, invest in his community. What can Brother Maynard do with all the debt that they've eliminated? Build a church. Build a school, civics, economics, all free. on High Frequency Radio Network, on Brother Sharif Debt Show? What are you giving back? Are you taking the information and sharing it with your family? Are you studying? Are you reading? Are you demonstrating or are you talking? Or are you following processes and procedures, pies in the sky, you know, happy talk? I don't know. You'll have to determine that yourself. But it's getting to be pretty obvious. I had a caller calling my show and told me that I was worldly, okay? They were looking for some humming and some singing to deal with their debt issue. They were looking to say that, you know, they went into some private realm and some private tube or tubular device that relieved them of all their debt. And because I brought them down to reality and told them that no such tube exists, that you have to be responsible and accountable and you have to deal with your debt appropriately. Legitimate debt, you have to work out a deal or pay it. Illegitimate debt, you can employ the tactics and information that I share on this show. Other than that, if you're looking for hope and change, there's another politician that will sell you that story. If you're looking for pie in the skies, there's a lot of gurus out there that will sell you a process and charge you a lot of money to feel good, but at the end of the day, we all know where that leads. The road to nowhere. There's also an article out there with Wells Fargo, appears to have a manual out there, okay? It's a foreclosure affidavit processing training manual, all right? I'm telling you, wherever there's God people in these agencies, you're going to have a whistleblower, okay? Because as human beings, I don't care what race, color, and creed you are, as a human being, there's something wrong with you if you engage in suppressing and oppressing your own people. Has to be. The universe is going to hold you liable. Period. So everything that is in these corporations is going to grow a whistleblower. You have attorneys that's come out and spoke the truth. You have employees that's come out and did depositions. I mean, you name it. It's happening. So Wells Fargo has a training manual that shows you how to file affidavits, show you how to lie, show you how to cheat, show you how to create fraudulent documentations, most of which you guys are experiencing. Okay? And now the attorney generals are jumping on that. Listen, I'll make this clear. There is going to be an action that can be taken against these banks for the next 100 years. Do you understand? Okay? These type of actions create money. What are the banks doing? They're just going, they don't care that they got to pay $350 million. They put the damn money. Who cares? That's money that's going to be circulating. Who cares that you sue the debt collector and you win a judgment for $5,000? They don't care. They got 5,000 times the markup. I told you they only pay 3 to 5% for the piece of paper anyway. And you do a modification for 120% of loan to value. And you don't want to believe that you can go after the debt collectors and make a good bit of money or make a living at doing it like your host. Let's get real. The U.S. says that one thing, the Justice Department does one thing and then talk about another. You know, that's what they say. Nation Stars in the news. They lost in Florida. They violated a homeowner's due process rights, procedural rights. Most of you are experiencing that as well. All right. That's about all the news I really see worth speaking about. I thought I had one other article to talk about. Before I go to the lines, let's see. The courts are making a pretty good turn. I've said that on this show several weeks in a row. I'm seeing the cases that are coming out. Okay, so they're understanding now. I think their eyes was closed. They believe anything an attorney say, anything a bank said. I think those times are slimmer. I'm not going to say over, because they're nowhere near being over. You have to know what you're doing. All right? I had a question on yesterday's show that I was invited to as a guest on hisadvocate.org, and I want to share that question with the community before I open up the lines for questions and answers. I want everybody to understand that I'm seeing and also experiencing through consultations and talking with the people that I help and service that a lot of these debt collectors and pretender lenders are coming in with what they say are original notes. Let me tell you something. There are no original notes. And if you are still focusing on that mortgage agreement, that deed of trust, that security deed, if you are still giving that piece of paper any energy, you are on the wrong path. What you are experiencing is a debt collection, not a foreclosure. Okay? You are experiencing a debt collection, and until you change your mind in your critical thinking method, you're going to be following the pie in the sky, the disco lights, on into the woods while they take your paycheck, take your house, or anything else they're coming after. Okay? Let me explain to you when people come in and they say, well, that's the note. There's a lot of computer programs out there that can put your face on a dollar bill and make it look real. Okay? There are companies out there, DocX, you know those other companies, that can revitalize, regurgitate, okay, and make documents reappear that were long lost. So unless you have a document examiner with you that is an expert in document analysis, how do you know it's the original note? Okay? But for those of you that is chasing the note theory and all of that, let me just make this clear. And this is how I had to explain to one of the callers yesterday on hisadvocates.org conference call. A note, people, is not evidence. It's not the debt. Put it like that. Many of you think the note is very important. It's not to me. You don't hear me spend a lot of time on the note. Okay? You don't. It's a debt under 1692A5. That's all. That's all I focus on, what I tell you. Okay? I speak four languages. Are you a consumer under 1692A3? Are you collecting a debt under A5? Are you a creditor under A4? Or are you a debt collector under A6? You need to learn that. Okay? That is my manner of instructional scaffolding. You need to learn what I just said. 1692A3, 4, 5, and 6. That defines what a debt collector is, what a consumer is, what a debt is, and what a creditor is and is not. Simply. So, for those of you that want to spend time on a note, let me just read this to you so you understand what a note exactly is. The note, people, is not the debt. Okay? The note is only evidence of the debt. And it demonstrates the terms of repayment of that debt. But understand, it's not a substitute for the actual transactional documents. What do you mean, Brother Sharif? Documents, those transactional documents, okay, would have to include these things and write them down. Proof of the transfer of consideration, meaning I want to see where you purchased this alleged debt for the amount that you state in this complaint or this dunning letter. Okay? I need to see proof of transfer, receipts, proof of funding. An assignment doesn't have those elements, do they? No. Okay? I need to see the instructions that go along with the transfer of consideration, meaning I need to see some bank statements. Okay? FASB, look it up. Meaning, I'm going to make it simple for you. Mr. Debt Collector, I need you to provide a funding paper trail. I need to know not only that you have the note, first of all, I deny its authenticity. I don't think that's an original note. You'll have to prove it to me. I can get a document examiner for several hundred dollars to prove whether that it's an original. That note is 10, 20 years old. Don't look like it to me. It'll look like some fresh ink on that. And a document examiner will be able to find that out for you. Okay? So I need that. I need a paper trail. Okay? I need a chain of title that will demonstrate how you acquired that alleged note. The note is not the debt. And it is not necessarily admissible evidence either, unless you can state how you acquired that note. You might have found it in the drawer when the FDIC sold Washington Mutual and it became Chase. You might have found that note, the secretary, the accountant, the financial advisor, the account rep might have took that note out the drawer. You understand? Just because you have something don't mean that it belongs to you. And you're entitled to collect on it. Okay? I've read you the definition of a holder just if you want to talk foreclosure talk. This is to satisfy the appetite of those people that believe that they're in foreclosure. Okay? The meaning of a holder means any person entitled in his own name to the possession of the negotiable instrument and to recover or receive the amount due thereon from the party thereto. A little bit of legalese. It means just what it said it means. A holder in due course, on the other hand, means a holder who takes the instrument in good faith, okay? A holder in due course now means a holder who takes it in good faith, takes the instrument in good faith, for, listen to this, consideration. Now, if I told you that a debt collector only pays 3-5% for the default debt, what is the consideration amount on a $10,000 debt? Let's say it's 5%. What is it? $500. Are they suing you for $500 or are they suing you for $10,000? Do they have a financial injury? Can they plead that you owe them $10,000 when the consideration they paid was $500? You think about it. So they take the instrument in good faith for consideration before, listen, and you can look up this meaning of holder. They take the instrument in good faith for consideration before it is overdue and without any notice of defect in the title of the person who transferred it to him. I don't need to say anything else. That's your holder and holder in due course meaning. Let me just read you the meaning of consideration. A person who claims to be a holder in due course must show that he acquired the instrument for consideration. However, consideration may not pass from the holder of the instrument. You got to read. You got to understand what you're reading. And you got to make your gurus read it along with you and explain it to you. If they're not explaining it to you, then maybe you're on the wrong show. All right, I'm going to take a small minute break. We're going to go to the caller lines, do question and answers, 424-222-5250, 424-222-5250. We got an hour and a half left in the live stream. I'm going to go 4 hours today, but I'm going to start dwindling it down to 3 hours next week and 2 hours by April 3rd. It is going to be a two-hour show. 4 hours is just too long. All right, so we're going to take a small break. Please get in line and queue to get your questions answered. Please remember the events. Get on the email contact list, debtshow@yahoo.com. There is a lot of events going on this week with your host, Brother Sharif, and I definitely want you to participate and be a part of. Hold tight. Peace, we're back. This is your host, Brother Sharif. We're going to go to the caller line. I start off at the top, 317-1342, 317-1342. You're on High Frequency Radio, The Dead Show. Brother Sharif, do you have a question or comment on the concern?
How you doing, Sharif?
Peace.
I got two questions. Let me see. The first one is dealing with a foreclosure that has been already adjudicated. And it seems like this portfolio group, LLC, the debt collector, what they did was they sent a notice about a non-military service, and they want to charge $3,663 that said that the individual is indebted, owes the debt. And my question is, who does that? You know, because I've never seen that. I've seen several foreclosure cases, so-called foreclosure cases, when I put them on a run, but this is something new to me. And that's all they stipulate on the paper is that they found that the person is a non-military person and they owe this $3,661 debt. But they don't have anything else to it. I requested it for 10 days. They still haven't sent their paperwork. I want to put them in default. And it was through a small claims court. So I'm like in Indianapolis, they in Fort Wayne, and I've never seen this. I've never seen it. And you shed some light on that one. The second question is...
Okay, wait a minute. Let's go with the first question because I'm going to forget. Right. So you're saying you have a Dunning notice, is what it's called, and I want to teach you terminology. When you get a communication
right.
from a debt collector, that is a Dunning notice. So you're saying you got a Dunning notice. The non-military status just means that they are not members of the U.S. Armed Forces. There are rules and procedure by which a debt collector or creditor must take into account when they're collecting from a member of the armed forces, i.e. military. So what they're saying
right.
is that you are not a part of the military, therefore they don't have to take any special action. And they're saying that you owe $3,700. Now, you said something about small claims court. Are they suing
yeah.
you in small claims court?
Right, yeah.
Okay. So this is not a foreclosure if it is in small claims court.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It stems from an actual foreclosure which went through. It's been adjudicated.
Right, so it's a deficiency. It's a deficiency amount. That means they sold your property, and based on the sale of the property, the amount needed to pay off the entire debt was depleted by $3,600. That means it was not enough to cover the face amount of that debt. So they're suing you for the deficiency balance, which is $3,600 and change. Okay? Now, depending on who
yeah.
is sending that letter, they're definitely a debt collector, and you should be counterclaiming in your small claims court and doing the processes that I've employed here or that I've shared
right.
through webinars in order to deal with them.
Right.
So you should absolutely not allow them to be successful in that venture in the small claims court on a deficiency balance. Now, you don't want to discuss the foreclosure. Foreclosure is gone. You want to discuss the
yeah.
fact that simply they're a debt collector and they're trying to
right.
collect and you're a consumer
right.
and you want to use those
right.
consumer protection laws to beat them to oblivion.
Right. Okay.
Okay. What was your
That's
second question?
What I figured. Okay. The second question is something that you have a passion for, and I do. Lady and her husband been in a house for 43 years. This happened a year and a half ago. They put her out of her house, her and her husband. They live in a shack right now. I looked over their paperwork. Sharif, and I see where they did a lot of unlawful things, but I've heard you say many times, or maybe I misunderstood, that once a case is adjudicated, ain't much you can do. Now, I see the fraud and what they did with the sheriff, the county, the notaries, and everything to get the people out of their house. Is it true that there's nothing you can do by coming back at them since you found the fraud and everything and go after that property?
No, I never say there's nothing you can do, and that's something, those are words that are never a part of my vocabulary. I think
okay,
I can do all things through the Creator.
Yeah.
So what I'm telling you is that you can always go back and sue for a wrongful foreclosure action, which is a tort claim. Fraud is very ambiguous. It's hard to prove fraud because you have to prove intent, and that's very difficult. Just like if a man went out there and shot somebody, you have to prove that he intended, that it was a calculated action. And that's sometimes hard to get into the minds of a person and determine what they were thinking. Okay?
Right.
But you'll see these shows and, you know, you have these experts that's supposed to be able to recreate damn near anything in this world, and they can tell you what the hell you were thinking and why you did it, and nobody objects to it, you know? So, yeah, you can go back and sue for wrongful foreclosure for some liability under the consumer protection law. If it's within a certain time frame, you can also send them a debt validation dispute because they have to maintain certain records after a debt collection or foreclosure for a certain amount of time. You would have to look in your state and see what those time limits are. But you can always go back and sue for a damage. But fraud, stay away from. This is why on my last show, when I had the California 18 there, and they were a magnificent group, I always say that you're not going to be successful at exposing the system. Don't try to unclothe the system. Just go after your actions. Just go after your relief or your group's relief. Because if you try to expose the system is going to come back after you not expose anything. I'm worried about a case-by-case basis. I'm worried about my case and my check. That's all I'm worried about.
Right.
I don't care about exposing the system. The system, in its current stage, as broke as it is, allows people on this call and myself to make good energy economically, taking advantage of the holes in the system. Okay?
Right. Okay. Well, I sure appreciate that. I'm going to just pursue what I know. All right, then.
Appreciate it, brother. Let me know if you need a private consultation. Just email me at debtshow@yahoo.com, and I'll be able to help you with what you need to accomplish.
Okay. All right, thank you.
All right, peace. All right, let's go to 240-2551, 240-2551. You're on the Debt Show. Brother Sharif, can I help you? 2551.
Hello.
Okay, 2551. You said hello while I was leaving. Yes, you're on that show. You have a question?
Thank you very much. No, that must have been a mistake. My phone was just sitting here on the kitchen table. I don't know how the number got pushed, but thanks for everything and the information.
Are you a new listener, or have you been listening to the show a while?
I've been listening to the show. I guess you've been on what? 3 months?
3-4 months, yes, ma'am.
Been on 3-4 months, right. But I haven't been. I lost my parents January and February, so I haven't been on the show.
Oh,
in a
sorry
while.
To hear.
Okay.
Well, blessings to you.
All
condolences
right, well,
on that. Thank you.
Okay, so much.
All right, thank you. All right, let's go to 215-7059. 215-7059. You're on the Debt Show. Can I help you?
Islam, brother.
Islam,
man.
Please impress his brother. Whenever the universe blesses us with one of our leaders, man, it's always great to hear from you. Tell us what's going on, brother.
Two things. First, I want to say you really appreciate it because there's very few honorable brothers and sisters that really get what you would call divine and advanced information and come honorably to the people of the nation and to the world, and you are one of those few, and I'm appreciating you. I just want you to know that.
Well, from the words of one of the most astute members of this community, Taz, I take that with all bitter sensitivity, and I thank you.
And that's sincere and true. And I want to also give thanks to all the brothers and sisters that support High Frequency Radio and the works that are going on there. The other thing that I want to mention to everyone is keep in mind while we're looking at these debts, to recognize that whenever we're talking about the corporate institutions, always mention the workers behind them first, then the institutions, etc. Because one of the things that they have traditionally done has, when they created that artifice or that ends legis with the 14th Amendment, was designed so that the living criminals could hide behind their corpses, which is the corporations, etc. So I always like to mention the living being in front of the corporation or doing business as a corporation when any communications are going on. And on the other hand, recognize that this battle about the debt is really a counter battle against the war initiated by the bishoprics of Rome against the human family, etc. And so therefore, again, they're doing it for the empire. So it affects us personally, but at the same time, don't take it personally, so stick with the facts. And thank you much, brother, for what you're doing, and keep up the good work.
Oh, man, Taj, it's great to have you, brother, and I'm elated that the show is being listened to by such a blessing to our community, one of the pioneers and leaders, Brother Taj Tariq Bey. If you don't know him, then you haven't been around very long. But this is one of our esteemed leaders, one of our power pellets, one of our information providers that is uplifting this community across the board, economic, civic, spirituality, history. This brother is a walking encyclopedia. And it's one thing I want to say to you, Taj, while you are on the phone, that's always one of the phrases and one of the sentences that you said that's resonated with me for about 5 years now. And when I started to learn about this debt industry, it's one thing you said, I forget on what show, I believe it was probably Civil Alert, and I heard you say this, and it just stuck in my spirit. And you said, the corporation that's created by these people, the creator of the corporation takes on the nationality of its creator. And that just stuck with me because a lot of these debt collection firms are owned by members of the legal society, members of other nationalities that use this corporate structure to enslave and oppress the people. So when you say look into the members and the creators of these corporations, you will realize that most of them are of a certain descent. And then most of them are taking certain communities of a certain descent and absolutely oppressing them with this debt crisis.
Yes. And this is why people must know the origin of the debt. And all, now, so we've got to keep in mind that while we're dealing with debt, the debt is really artificial. Because it's a veil to hide the war that's waged against the Asiatics of the world via the secret treaty of Verona coming from the bishopric of Rome, originating from the Spanish Inquisition against the Moors and Yahudi, or what are traditionally known as the Moors and Jews, etc., which is the Asiatics of the world, and generally is referencing the Asiatic and African peoples, period, collectively. And of course, the discovery doctrine is from which the fraud that's exercised in all of the tribunals that are fronted as courts are operating. And this is one of the reasons why it really takes thinkers like yourself and other brothers and sisters to really work through this maze, because there's an assumption that there's a separation with the banks when all of the banks are actually one. And the different names are given to disguise or to veil from the people. And also they must know that both the priesthood behind the pulpit, that is the clergy collectively, the barristers sitting behind those benches, as well policemen who are what you call field operators, are all members of either Knights Templars, Knights Knights of Columbus, Knights of Malta, ETC in one connection or another, and all of them are working to carry out the Treaty of Verona via the Discovery Doctrine. This is one of the reasons why it has been difficult for people to get any what they considered due process, which is not even intended. And so they're actually dealing with a feudal system of lords from London pretending to be representatives of the republic that was set up with some sense of legitimacy under the deities of the Europeans who were studying the science of the Asiatics, et cetera, and had decided to set up an order of government that represented some semblance of justice for humanity at all. And that's the distinction between the Republic of the United States and the democracy order that actually belongs to the Popes of Rome. This is what makes it difficult for people to really get justice, because that organization, period, that corporation was designed absolutely for one purpose, and that is for human genocide, human trafficking, and false debt. And that's what we're battling. Keep up the good work, brother.
Brother, I love you. That information in and of itself is powerful. And let me say this. When the elders are peeking in on you and listening to you, you're doing something. So I appreciate your presence here. All honors and praise due to the elder, Taj Tariq Bey. Thank you, brother. We love you. And your name will go down in history, brother. Thank you.
Peace, good brother.
All right. Again, when the elders come and bless you with their presence, you got to be doing something right. So peace to the elder, Brother Taj Tariq Bey. Go to that website, RV Bey, okay? RV Bey Productions. If you want a esoterical, historical education, that is the university by which you can obtain all the information you will ever need on spirituality, civics, economics. It's just unbelievable. So RV Bay Productions, you can Google that. That is Taj Tariq's site. I believe he does classes in New York as well. Yusef has had him on the show. I believe co-host Brother Paul Savage has had him on the show. Again, if you don't know the elder Taj Tariq, you haven't been around long, you definitely need to become acquainted with his work. So we thank him for stopping by. All right, let's go to 469-6123, 469-6123. You're on the Debt Show, Brother Sharif. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, Brother Sharif. First of all, I don't know how I can come behind Brother Taj, man, but
that's right.
My question to you would be, I wanted to get started on getting your webinar, so where would I need to go to do that?
Great, and I'm glad you asked that. I mean, our webinars, I have a six-series webinar. You need to get on the contact list. I sent out a menu of each webinar. There's six altogether. Come this weekend, there will be eight. I have a list. It's a menu. It'll tell you exactly what each webinar covers, what it's about. The donation is $150 for each webinar. You can email me at debtshow@yahoo.com, and you can ask to be placed on the contact list and to receive a menu of those webinars. And once you place that order, then the webinar will be sent to you, and you will be able to download it to your computer and play it as many times as your heart so desires.
Okay, and brother, I want to thank you for your lawful instruction, not advice.
Yes, sir.
Lawful instruction, brother. So thank you, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you.
All right, have a good
blessing.
Day.
You too. All right, let's go to 412-1568. 412-1568. You on the Debt Show, Brother Sharif. You have a question?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well, brother. How are you?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good. It's always a pleasure to hear from you. Always a pleasure, because you got something new every time. I mean, I learn something from you every time. Every time.
Thank you, brother.
I wanted to ask you, you were talking about the Telephone Communications Act. You said you were going to have a show on that, a webinar on that. Is this the form
yes,
I ask a question about it?
You can ask a question about it now if you want, but, yeah, I'll be hosting a webinar this Sunday at 3
okay.
p.m. on the FCRA and how to employ it. Now, I don't know of anybody else that's going to show you how to get $500 to $1,500 per call for an impermissible call from a debt collector. And many of you, I'm talking about most of you that receive a call, is a call that's received, okay, in opposition to the compliance laws based on the Telephone Consumer Protection Act. So $500 to $1,500 per call, and, you know, it's another big moneymaker that I haven't even brought to the family, because, again, I bring things in stages so you can master one thing, then go to the other. So we've dealt with Dunning letters. We've dealt with foreclosure, allegedly. We've dealt with communications from debt collectors in written form. Now I'm transitioning to the telephone calls, which is probably a bigger revenue source, bigger revenue source when you get, you know, $500 to $1,500 per call. You understand? I have some people that I teach that has phones just for debt collectors. Be like, call me, please. Please call me. Okay? So we have to understand that is – sure.
Yeah, my question is this, okay? I am kind of aware of it, because there is another group that does what you do. It does what you do. I have some knowledge of it. But the question I wanted to ask you, I've thought about the Telephone Communications Act. I thought when they call your cell phone, it has to be a phone that you pay for minutes. I don't know if that's correct or not,
sure.
But from my understanding, I thought it was something that it has to be paid with minutes, and it has to come from like an auto dialer where it automatically dials that phone.
A predictive dialer. Yeah, that's one of the bases of it. But who uses home phones now? You follow what I mean? So most people have cell phones.
But they're not paying for the minutes. Is it just having a cell phone, period, or if you pay by the minutes?
It's cell phone, and that's what I'll cover in the webinar. It's cell phone, period. If they have no business, it's no different than an impermissible credit pull. If they pull your credit, I don't care if they use a computer, a tablet, or a desktop to pull your credit. It's an impermissible purpose. If they call your phone and they had no permissible purpose to call, I don't care what they use. Sure, a predictive dialer is not allowed to be used, but they're going to use them anyway. They're not going to make hundreds of thousands of calls, okay, by having people hit the rotary or hit the push button. No, they're going to use a predictive dialer. So, but how many people know this information? Not many. How many people care?
Not many.
Well, okay. So again, my show is about people that want to make money.
There's no defense, and there's no defense against that impermissible call. It's like there's no defense now, and also. You can sue on the federal and the state, and I think you get 2 years with the Telephone Communication Act. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I don't want to cover too much. I know you're having a webinar. The next question I want to ask is about your webinars. I mean, I've heard the same question, the use of also. I mean, have you ever thought, because basically what you're teaching, a person is paying for, I use one of your phrases, your intellectual property, okay? So you're basically paying a tuition for what you're doing. Now, I pose the question to Yusuf also, if someone's, and, you know, instead of paying $150, say an individual had agreed, like, well, I want to do an auto debit from my account every month, whether it's $100, $150 every month, you know, for like maybe 2 years or a year. Because this is what these other individuals are doing. You would pay $100. And you pay like $50 every month, you know, for up to a year.
Right.
And I was wondering.
Right. And I know who you're talking about. The difference in myself, I think, that sets my network apart from everybody else is that I don't give you 1,000 pages of information to just tell you to go surf. Do you understand? You have to be taught on how to demonstrate and to employ the knowledge that you have and put it in sequential order. Put it in a protocol and know what to do first and second and third and fourth and fifth. And I don't think any of these other networks, although they're doing a great job just by bringing the information in its entirety, but they're not showing you how to do it. You know, there was a time where you would ask for information from some of these societies and they would give you 1,000 pages of information. Well, what the hell am I supposed to do with that after I read the book? Do you understand? This show, my show, tells you what to do, tells you how to do it, gives you samples of how to do it. Don't tell me about the money. Don't tell me about how it's out there. Don't give me the book and everything else and don't teach me how to do it. I teach you. Doing the art of instructional scaffolding, I teach you how to do it. I show you how to do it. I give you samples, communications that you will have success with, as you've heard, on accomplishing these things. So, you know, I've been told to go to a membership type thing, a tuition type thing. I'm just going to keep bringing the webinars right now. You know, and my webinars are pretty instructional. They're 5 hours long. I mean, I don't know who else out there gives you 5 hours of webinars. When I was on the show for hisadvocates.org, in his introduction of me, he said, "Brother Sharif is long-winded. His show is 4 hours." And I just thought, I said, dang, that's a long time. Okay, so I bring the same amount of passion and intensity in my webinars. It's 5 hours long. But if you went to college, some of you and a lot of you have paid $400,000. For college tuition, that's not including the credit cards, the food, the cars, the gas, and all that you acquired while you were going. That's right. That's right. And then you got out of school and you can't find a job. You get out of school, you can't find a job.
Now, look, one webinar with you, you can start making money. And, you know, from my understanding, because you don't play. You just go right off the bat. Bam, I'm going to sue you. But what I learned from these other individuals, a lot of times they send a letter of intent to sue and it break them to their knees because there's no defense for, like, making these phone calls. And
that's
what
right.
They do is turn, they just go ahead and settle with you. And
yeah.
The question that I was asking, go ahead.
No, go ahead. On the Telephone Consumer Protection Act, you absolutely really will have to go into court. All you have to do is say, here, here's my telephone bill. You called me 8 times, okay? It's $1,500 a call. This is what I'm asking for. You want to mitigate, or what do you want to do? Many of the things that I teach, this is why I say, there are a lot of things on the Internet. There are a lot of QWRs. There are a lot of letters. There are a lot of so-called bullet letters that are out there. But as you can see, when you properly craft and draft a letter that hits them right to their heart, they go away, or they pick up the phone, how much you want. And that's the kind of success that I have because I don't play. I give it raw sushi. I'll be like, look, this is what I'm doing. I give it to you raw. I'm not watering it down. There's no happy feel good. There's no alcohol, no bourbon, no vodka. There's nothing in there that's going to make you woozy. I'm going to give it to you straight to the head. In other words, the way the hood say, I'm going to give you the business. I don't have time to play. I need $10,000 in 5 days or we're going to court. That's it. Well, how about $7,000?
Okay.
$7,000 tomorrow, we can do that. $7,000 Monday, no, we going to court. You understand? Okay?
All right.
So that's it, brother. So I appreciate your comments. But, yes, you need to appear on Sunday for that TCPA because that's a lot of money. So for those out there that send me the emails that say you don't have a job and the economy is bad, get your credit report out and order these webinars that I offer out there. Get your credit report and spend a couple of $100 on your education, and you can be like Dr. James and get rid of $2,000 with one letter. Do you understand what I mean? That's just one. He hasn't even finished. And it's so empowering and uplifting that the brother's like, I want to get somebody. I want to give somebody the business. Do you understand? So this is serious,
right,
brother. It's serious and it's fun once you take the time to empower yourself with the education and the free information that's given on this network. Again, we don't have any governmental support. We wasn't the recipients of a big settlement, and we decided to do this network and pay the people that's conducting these shows. We do it from the heart. And y'all need to contribute to that, and you need to participate in that. Stop being late. There are no more excuses. There's just not, okay? So, brother, did I answer your question?
I only have just one follow-up. Is like I said, I would hope, like I said, that you would probably consider, you know, somebody pay something monthly, and they would get all of the webinars, you know, because, like I said, again,
email me.
School and it's like they're paying for tuition.
That's right. And I appreciate you saying that, brother. And listen, it's funny how our community
some people in our community, we seem to be in a welfare state of mind. You know, I go over to the other cultures, specifically this show, and the first thing I get from an email, I like to compensate you for a consultation, for an advisement. I like to compensate you for coming over here and doing a video. I like to pay for you to come over and do a seminar for our church, for our group. Do you understand? So I appreciate you saying that and email me on that. For those of you that want the information and the webinars, I will work with you, okay? But my time and my energy is only given at no cost on this show, not beyond that. And as I said, you can go back in the archives and you can get a college education, something that you can make six figures, and I'm telling you, you can easily make six figures and then leave your house. So I don't know what else to do for you. But, brother, yes, email me, and if you're really serious about the education, I will definitely work with you.
Okay, that's cool. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
All right, brother. Thank you, man. Peace. Thanks for giving the call. All right, let's go to the priest right quick and see if the priest have anything to add. Priest, I seen you been holding on. I thought you was just doing prayer and going back to your day. But do you have any comments for the family?
No.
I've been listening to you asking what I do now.
Nah, I've been listening to the show all day. You know, just listening. I'm at work. You know. So I'm able to listen to you teach a wonderful class, a powerful class. Like I said, everybody, I mean, it's very deep on what they're doing. Tell our brother Taj Sharif Bey, you know, he's a beautiful brother. He's one of the pioneers that got a lot of this stuff started. So, you know, all praises go out to Yahweh to continue to bless that brother, continue to strengthen him in all his travels. You know, and just keep telling listeners, man, they got to get to tap into their spiritual. There's a lot of things, you know, that I'll be teaching in the seminars on the psyche, on your psyche, how they able to get inside your psyche and how they able to get inside your mind and convince your mind to believe that you are, that you are owed a debt. You know, it's very spiritual what they've done to us. And like Tosh said, it has, it's a genocide thing. So it's not only genociding you physically, but it's also genociding you spiritually. And that's where it all begins at. It begins in the mind. Once you can convince somebody's mind, you can take over their entire body. And that's what happened with Adam and Eve in the garden when they was able to get convinced by the serpent of this other type of knowledge that he gave them, that they would know the knowledge of good and evil. And that's why they realized that they was naked. And a lot of us are naked, and that's why we don't know the power of the debt, because we're naked to this science, we're naked to this information. So they had to sew their fig leaves on, and I'm going to get into a demonstration of what that means metaphysically. I could tear the whole Bible down metaphysically and teach the world how to apply it physically and shut down this satanical system that they are in. They don't even know that, though. A lot of us on this line today has escaped the matrix, and the word matrix is inside of the Bible five times, and you are the firstborn. And I'll demonstrate to you what that means and how to apply the firstborn knowledge that you have escaped this matrix. Yahweh said, but those who have escaped the matrix is my firstborn. You all are the firstborn. That's why you're here today on this show with Brother Sharif and myself and Taj and many other brothers. You are the firstborn, and you will have victory because the birthright goes to you. That's all I have to say, good brother. I love you. I'm continuing to listen to the show. If anybody needs any questions, I'm here for you.
Indeed. That is the priest, Elishua. You're going to hear the priest whenever you hear me, King Sharif. He's deemed me a king. He has more of the spiritual knowledge behind why he's styled me that way. I'm just going to roll with it for now. But the priest will definitely be a part of this group. I am building a team. I cannot do things on my own. I am raising students. I am elevating the conscience of the people. I don't want to be looked at as a statute or the end-all be-all. I want the people to empower themselves, self-serving individuals that doesn't rely upon anybody. Every society and every group out here should have some religious foundation, some religious figures, some Taj Tariq Bey, some priest Elishua. You understand? We have to have that. We should have some paralegals. We should have some attorneys that are really
really doing things in the best interest of the people. We have to have those folks in order to be successful. So the priest and I, along with three or four other team members, we will be taking our education to the cities in the different various states. We have an invitation to go to the UK. Yes, the people over in the UK want the information. Priest, if you would share with me one of the spiritual passages you said when I said, priest, I'm getting emails from people in the UK, from people in other countries that want us, want myself, want we us to bring this message. Can you share with the family what you told me about Jesus and being accepted amongst your own?
Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. A prophet, the scripture says the prophet is never accepted amongst his own. That's why a lot of times in our family, in our nation, they don't accept you as other nations do. As you just said previously that, you know, when you go to other nations, they automatically say, hey, what is it going to cost, or what is your donation, or what do we have to do to compensate you for your intellectual time? When Yahshua went in back into Galilee amongst his own people, they did not accept him. And they only gave you guys a little bit of the story, but there's a whole science behind why he went away for 18 years. When he grew up, say, for instance, you grew up in New York or you grew up in Chicago, and you grew up around your people for 12 years, and all of a sudden you go away for 18 years, and you go somewhere, you come back, and those people went to grade school with you, they went to high school with you, college with you, and they saw you, you know, all your life. So you come back with this new knowledge, with this new science. If you say, well, hey, man, I know you, man, I hung out with you, we was in the playground together, we went to school, party, club together, they don't believe in you. They won't accept you because they grew up with you. They figure they know as much as you know, or they know what you know when you come with this new information, or this new information that you have brought to them. They think, where'd he get this from? You know, he don't know what he's talking about. So Yahweh said a prophet's not accepted amongst his own. So when Yahshua went back to Galilee, where he grew up at, when he came back to demonstrate this new information to tear down the Roman civic power, because at that time they was under the control of Rome then, which was civil contract law, the same thing that you're going through today. And he came to tear them down politically, economically, education, socially, and spiritually. So when he went to tear them down, he didn't only tear down the divine part, but he was going against the attorneys, the lawyers in that time. He went against the physicians at that time. He went against the scribes and the tax collectors at that time. So it wasn't just him walking around talking about the Bible or the Torah, but he went on the political, economic, educational, social, and spiritual. He just tore all that down, and that's why they went after him the way that they did, because he was tearing down all of their industries that they had put up. The same industry that's going on today is the same industry that was here 2,000 years ago. And like I said, your prophet is not accepted amongst his own. Sometimes you have to go out, and the other world wants you. They hunger for you because they can hear the wisdom knowledge that you are demonstrating. They can hear the truth coming from your internal being. They can hear it. And when they hear it, that's because that their frequency is on a different frequency. In this country, a lot of people's frequencies has been lowered so much, and I could tell you how to raise up your frequencies. So when you go into these courts or when you're dealing with these debt collectors on the phone, you can release a frequency so high from you that you'll shut them down and they'll apologize to you, and they'll give up and just get and go about their business, just like Brother Sharif has said. When you know what you know and how to stand on your square and demonstrate the power of the word, because John 1:1, and in the beginning was the word. It's all about word, family. It's all about the science and the language that you put on your documents. You must blow the breath of life into your word according to Genesis 2:7. So, family, I can go on and on and on. That's how I was able to demonstrate in my case. I presented myself. I blew the breath of life in my word. I demonstrated. I knew who I was going up against. I had studied the numerology, which is the mathematics of the court date I went on, the time that I went into the court. They didn't know I knew all this science. They figured I was just a dumb brother who didn't know what he was doing, but they didn't know I knew all the science before I went into the fiery furnace, went into the lion's den, when I went into the tomb. I understood where I was. They didn't do nothing but strengthen me. I gained strength when I went inside the tomb, and so shall you when you go inside of yourself. So I turn the floor back over to you, brother, and I shall always be there for you and the entire world, for all humanity.
Peace. Man, oh, man, oh, man. I got to sit back up out my seat, put the mic close to my mouth. The priest, Mr. Body, Soul, and Spirit is what I nickname him.
He's available for consultation if you need him. This brother is knowledgeable on many fronts, but specifically, he has the holistic alternatives. He knows the metaphysics, and he has the spirituality to prepare you for any endeavor. Mothers, fathers, both. If y'all need him, he's available. He is a part of this Debt Show, Brother Sharif's team, and he's an intricate part. Bless him with the consultation. Support him. We've heard from the priests. We've heard from the elders. What else do you need? We're not government-backed. We work off donations. Okay? The elder Taj Tariq Bey, he should be flying around in a helicopter from city to city, state to state. Okay? Why are not supportive? High Frequency Network, 4 hours of nothing but education, 5 days a week. Okay? That's a job. Why are we not flying around on helicopters? I don't need to. But in case we wanted to, why are we not able to? You hear the testimonials, $2,000 in debt, $300,000 in debt, $80,000 in debt. What do you, let's play church. 10%. You're contributing and you're donating to the people that is educating you. You pay for tuition. You're going to school right now learning how to be a mechanic. You're getting in debt every day, and you won't donate to the people that is teaching you how to become more economically responsible, uplifted, and relieved. I don't get it. Thank you, priest. We're going to go on to the next call. 708-0366, you're on the Debt Show. Brother Sharif, do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Can you hear me?
Peace, mother. I can hear you clearly. How are you?
Okay, great. I'm doing just great. Thank you.
Okay, now that sounds bad. What did you do? Okay, there we go.
Okay. My question is, and I'm a new listener. I think I've heard maybe one of your shows on this radio channel. And my question is, I'm in, I hate to use the word foreclosure because I've been educated a little bit already, but in that process. And so I have two issues that I would like to question. I need to take your classes, and I'm at a point now where I know in May the plaintiff's attorney has processed or submitted a motion for summary judgment, and that's in May. But I have a court date prior to that because I missed one court date in 3 years, and it was beyond my control, and the judge ruled that the plaintiff they ordered that my affirmative defenses were stricken. Well, two of them, that was regarding standing and estoppel, were stricken from the record and dismissed with prejudice. Now, I submitted a motion requesting a reconsideration of that, and I used as my argument that without proper jurisdiction, because that ruling was made without proper jurisdiction and therefore should not stand because the plaintiff, the attorney could not represent the plaintiff, and of course I wasn't there. I've been told by talking to attorney's friends that they were probably going to not uphold that request for reconsideration, but I don't know how I should proceed. Now, I'm not asking you for legal advice. I'm just asking you, what are my options?
Yeah, I don't know what legal advice is, so I appreciate you prefacing your question about that. But you said some things that are contradicting to me, and I just want to kind of clarify your position.
Okay.
You're making a jurisdictional challenge, but you're proffering affirmative defenses to the court. What was the basis of your jurisdictional standing by saying that an attorney cannot represent a plaintiff? Where did you get that from?
Well, not represent, but that the plaintiff can't, I mean, the attorney cannot be a witness. And as far as I know that the plaintiff themselves didn't show up in court when the judge made that ruling, only the attorney was there. So the attorney would have had to present
some evidence.
But you wasn't
there. Pardon me? But you wasn't there. You wasn't there,
no,
correct?
No, I wasn't. Correct.
So how would you be able to speak as to matters that he spoke about at a hearing you wasn't president?
Well, that's my dilemma. That's why I don't know what to do.
Right. See, your motion for reconsideration rightfully and properly will be denied because you didn't show up. So how do you know what the attorney said or didn't say? And you're right that attorney cannot be a witness and counsel for the plaintiff, but how do you know he was doing so? See, this is the type of information I say you get from third, fourth parties without reading yourself. And if you just go to court and do the things that I've shared on this show, you wouldn't have those issues. But you're at a summary judgment stage. That means the plaintiff is asking the court to dispose of the case without a need for trial because you haven't presented enough of a defense, okay? And they should win on summary judgment. So you're at a very, very detrimental stage of your litigation, and you definitely need to do something to derail that order. I can't go into it here on the show. It's a very lengthy question. Just email me at debtshow@yahoo.com. Maybe I can give you some information that will help you or send you in a direction or be able to direct you to a resource that would help you derail the certain destruction of your home rights that's going to occur here soon. So just email me, Mother, and I'll be able to give you some information that may be able to aid you in your
endeavor. Okay, so that was the first topic. Now, the second one is this. There was a second mortgage on this same property, and the lender has written it off. It appears on my credit report as a written-off debt, and that was almost a year ago, and I now have a third-party debt collector claiming that I owe them those funds and that they received that they were assigned that debt from a government entity that held, what is it?
What government entity?
You know, when a bank has insurance on its deposits. So the deposit corporation assigned that debt to
the
them.
FDIC, you mean?
Yes.
Okay, so they bought debt from the FDIC, which is legal. They sell debt, okay? So they bought the debt from the FDIC, and they're pursuing collection against you for that amount of the second mortgage, correct?
Correct.
Good. Congratulations. You have probably a good deal of money coming to you if you learn, if you educate yourself, and it doesn't take long. If you obtain those webinars that I have, you will learn how to absolutely beat the snot out of that debt collector for pursuing you.
Okay.
Okay? So where you might lose your home on the other end, you might gain enough money to buy it, okay, from the debt collector that's pursuing you.
Okay. Because I did challenge them initially, and they sent me an affidavit showing that they
sure.
were in an assignment and that sort of stuff.
Sure.
So I know there's
right. That assignment is good money.
Okay.
Huh? Everything you have
what
in your
you
possession is good money. You have an opportunity even in your alleged foreclosure case to turn that around and put them on the defense, do you understand,
okay.
with actual damages, punitive damages, tort claims, to beat them away. Do you understand?
You mean
but you have to apply yourself, you have to get the education, and you can do it quickly. Okay?
Okay. This,
you're no different than the doctor that called and said he studied the webinars, he listened to them, he sent out the documentation, and they sent back a letter and said, we're done, you zeroed out. It's no different with a foreclosure because you're not in foreclosure.
Right.
It's a mind change at first. You have to get it in your mind first, okay? You have to change the way you're thinking first. Okay, and once you change that, then you'll be able to have the success that anyone else has. Because you notice, I don't teach two different lanes, foreclosure and debt. They're one and the same.
Right.
It's a debt collection. It's self-dealing. It's a debt collection.
Okay.
I read to you the definition of what that is. But we still have to come to reality, and we've been a lot of wrong information has been deposited into our mindset that we have to do a purging of, okay? We have to do a mental enema.
and get this information out. Stop listening to the gurus and jurisdiction and all this stuff and all this other crap that's going on. We got to focus on what we're dealing with, master that, and then go on to something else and master that, and then go on to something else. Now you're economically sound. Now you can have intercourse with commerce. Now you're not afraid to do these contracts. You're not afraid to talk to debt collectors. You're not afraid to go to court. You have the spiritual balance that the priest provides. You have the educational balance on the consumer protection laws that Brother Sharif provides. Okay, now once you get that, then you can start going into other areas of commerce on the private side, on doing private business. You understand what I mean? But you got to first deal with what you have in front of you, and what you have in front of you is public debt that you executed. Okay? So just email me. You need to get the webinars, and you need to get studying. And then my webinars, I tell you what to do, period. That's all I'm going to say, Sister Mother. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
You're
so
definitely
much.
Your hope is not lost, and I appreciate you for supporting the show, okay?
All right, thank you.
Thank you, peace. All right, let's go to 478-8016. You're on the Debt Show, Brother Sharif. Do you have a question? 478-8016. All right, let's go to 240-7389. You're on the Debt Show, Brother Sharif. Do you have a question? 240-7389.
Hello?
All right, sister, you almost got passed by. Yes, do you have a question?
Oh, yes. I'd like to know a little bit more about opting out. I see that they have an option for that on your credit report. Is that something that you also explained in one of your webinars as well?
Opting out of what?
Marketing, credit pulls, and so on and so forth. And if violating that incurs, is a violation as well. So
I'm not sure whether you can opt out of a credit report. Marketing, yes, you can opt out of anything in terms of marketing. A lot of times when you set up any type of account at any store or any merchant, you know, you have to opt out. When you buy a phone, you have to opt out of a lot of things. When you set up an email address, they've checked everything on there for them to be able to get your contact information, for them to be able to do everything they want to do, and you have to opt out of those things. The only thing I know you can opt out on is marketing. Yes, you can do that on your credit report, but I don't think that's going to bring you any money by doing so. As far as credit pulls, the only thing you can do is put a freeze on your account. And that's a benefit that the credit bureaus offer you, or you can have a freeze on account to where they have to call you if any information was obtained, specifically your credit report or an inquiry for credit or an application for credit. You know, those are things that you can do. But other than that, I don't know about opting out of consumer credit reporting. That, to my knowledge, is not available. And I wouldn't want it to be available because – that's where the money is made.
Oh, but I was just thinking, I saw a news report, this was quite some time ago, of a young man who did opt out and then had, I don't know how he did it, but when he had people call him, then he would sue them because he said he was on a do not, basically like a do not disturb
list. Oh, do
not call
list is what you're talking about.
And,
okay, right. A do not call list. Yeah. But you say opt out, that's so broad. So, yeah, do not call list, yes. You can be placed on a do not call list. I don't know which government agency offers that, but you can Google it, and you can be placed on a do not call list for debt collectors or marketers or things of that nature. And if you are on that list and they call you, yes, that is a violation of the TCPA. Okay, if they call you anyway and you didn't give them permission to call you, meaning, let's say you had a credit card with American Express, and you wrote your number down or gave American Express that number, that permission did not transition over to the debt collector. I didn't give you express permission to call me. So that's a violation of the Telephone Consumer Protection Act. And the liability is anywhere from $500 to $1,500 per call. So, yes, you're talking about the opt-out list. Definitely get on that. Google that. I don't have that information. I'll try to incorporate that into my next show so people know. But, you know, for me, I don't want to opt out, okay? I want them to call. I want them to send. Look, I love the debt collectors. Y'all understand me? I love the debt collectors. Mm-hmm. This show by itself could make millions of dollars dealing with the debt collectors. And I told you the markup. It's ridiculous. Okay, on a $10,000 debt, they pay $500. It's a $9,500 markup. I mean, I'm going to get some of that markup.
Understood. I just like I said, I mentioned it because I saw that that was one thing that some young man had did to earn a living.
Sure.
Was to put himself on the list and then encourage them to call him so he can sue him. Another, I have two questions. One kind of related, one related to that, and one not so much, but you had talked about, I think, on another show. One is a friend of mine has had her house auctioned off, and the bank, you know, supposedly bought it back at a at a ridiculously high amount, twice the current value of the home. But nonetheless, she still would like to pursue some action. So I told them maybe she can look at her credit and send them letters to see to go after them for the wrongful foreclosure in that
mm-hmm.
manner.
Mm-hmm.
If that's, I think you had – I don't know if you covered it. I came at a tail end where I think somebody else had discussed that. So forgive me if this is a kind of a repeat.
You have a tort claim for wrongful foreclosure. If you were allegedly foreclosed on illegally or unlawfully, that's a state court tort claim. You have a tort claim for intentional infliction of emotional distress, anxiety, insomnia, alienation of affection, or whatever your pain and sorrow was based on the illegal actions of the debt collector. Those are tort claims. And also you have your consumer protection laws for your state, and your federal consumer protection law, specifically the FDCPA, FCRA, and TCPA, if applicable. So you have all those things to go after a debt collector, depending on the amount of time that's expired. You know, FDCPA is 1 year, FCRA is 2 years, TCPA. So you have time limits, and you also have time limits pursuant to your state consumer protection laws. They have time frames by which you have to bring that type of action.
Okay. Well, it happened recently, so she's went well within her,
okay.
her time.
Yeah, she
I'm sorry. Last question. You discussed about driving licensing and vehicle registration, and I was trying to look up our laws within Maryland, and the only thing I could find are laws pertaining to
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I really don't deal I don't deal with driver's license and things of that nature. That's probably – if you heard that information, it's probably from one of the other shows, Brother Youssef or Brother Paul Savage, but I don't deal with any of those issues here. I deal with strictly debt.
I know it was a little, it was off topic, but I did hear it, I know, in the conversation. I was just wondering if there's anything that you can actually direct me to for more of that.
No, just look up your driving code for your particular state if that's what you're researching, and you should have, you know, the laws that support commerce and driver's license. That's pretty easy to find.
Oh, okay. All right. So maybe I'll
okay.
somewhere else. Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you. Okay. All right. Let's go to 707-1166. 707-1166. Do you have a question?
Yes. I'm trying to get your email address. Not your email, but your login. I've tried to log in. I was on I'm one of the His Advocates members, and I was listening to you last night. Very good, by the way.
Okay.
But I can't get the debt show at yahoo.com to come up. It just automatically defaults to their Yahoo page, like their homepage. So is it debt show at yahoo.com? Is that what you said?
Yes, sir. It's debtshow@yahoo.com.
Yeah, it won't come up.
debtshow@yahoo.com. Now, when you say come up, I don't know what that means. You have to compose an email and send it to that email address. So when you say come up, I don't exactly know what you mean.
That's an email address? That isn't your website address?
That's an email address. Yes, sir. No, that's not a website address. That's an email address. Website will be done in 2 weeks.
Oh, you'll have a website in 2 weeks.
2 weeks. It's being worked on now, and it'll be done in 2 weeks. But you can email me at debtshow@yahoo.com.
And then you can, like you were talking to that other gentleman, or the guy was called himself the doctor, and you were able to give him some webinars or something to look.
Yes, I have some webinars that have some documentation that you can utilize with the debt collectors, and yes, that is in one of those webinars based on the FDCPA and FCRA.
And you can, if I email you, you can send me back those that information?
If you want to order that webinar, absolutely. I can send you that webinar that has those documents within it, absolutely.
Okay, super. Well, I thank you very much. And
thank you, sir, and you know, thank you for showing up here from hisadvocates.org. That is a fine group that you are in, and I'm glad you guys decided to visit me here today, and hopefully you're getting something out of the show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You have a good day. You too. All right, let's go to 615-6208, 615-6208, High Frequency Radio, Debt Show with Brother Sharif. Do you have a question, comment, or concern?
Yes, peace, brother. How you doing?
Peace, brother. I'm doing well.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, yeah, I got, sound like I got a little bad signal. I don't know if that's on my part or not. Can you hear me?
Nope, sounds good to me.
Okay, peace, peace. This is Brother Eric. Brother, been in touch with you out of the Tennessee Territories, the OT.
Okay. You just
email
me in the chat?
Yes, sir. Just email me in the chat for that follow-up consultation. And I'm proud to be supporting the cause and putting my money above my mouth.
Yes, sir.
On that. I want to share a story with you real quick, and it also could tell the listeners as well, just on using the information. There was a there is a gentleman that I've worked with who does with one of our businesses. He does websites and the different things, and he had some debt issues. And just on a little information that we utilize and learn from your show and different things, I did a barter with the guy, and so he had a credit card debt like $6,000-$7,000. So I just used some of the documents and went in and went into court. And I guess the guy, before you go into the courtroom, the gentleman that handles all this for the, I guess he's like the attorney that's handling all those debts in the General Sessions Court for them. And we went back there and talked. And when he seen the paperwork and the way he was coming, he just said, well, I'm going to just dismiss this case. Like that. So when we got to the, they put him at the very back of the court, and when they put him at the very back of the court, the judge, the first thing the judge said when they called it out, he said, "How did you get him to dismiss this case?" Because I guess they don't ever dismiss anything because they're making money on everything.
That's
and,
right.
He just said, "No, I put the motion in and the claims in and." But he wouldn't sign. He would not sign our order, and the other guy was out of the court when we were talking. And when I told Brian to go up and give him the order, the other guy just busted in the courtroom and he said, "No contest, no contest, no contest." And he said it three times. And then the judge said, "Well, he said it three times, so that means there's no contest. He's not charging you or anything, so there's nothing to do here." And he just started pulling his robe off right there in the courtroom. And so I didn't really know. I had to go back and research the no contest thing and him saying it three times. So that was something new for me to
No contest sounds like a criminal case. I've never heard the terminology used, no contest, on a debt collection case. So I don't know if he said
That's
no contest.
Said.
That's what he said? Okay.
Well, yeah, he said no contest.
At least he got it dismissed. I don't know what order you did if you're moving for dismissal. You would need to do an order. If plaintiff moved for dismissal, there wouldn't be an order that you would need to draft for the judge to sign. So I'm a little bit confused on that. But nonetheless, you know, I'm glad the information was able to aid you in the dismissal of the debt collection case. So, you know, these things should inspire. A lot of times we do these things and we submit these documents and, you know, sometimes we need that immediate relief. But you should go back and study. This should be encouragement for you to go back and study and understand what happened. because it's not going to happen like that all the time. So I want people to not only use the documentation and the webinars and the education, I want them to know why it happened and to know how to strategize and understand it's not a silver bullet. The Creator just aided you in dismissing an economic restraint that would normally be upon you. So I'm glad that happened, brother. I appreciate the testimonials. Again, I didn't know you were going to call. But again, if you're dealing with these gurus and these leaders out there that's telling you this and telling you that, they should have something to rely upon demonstrating that what they say works and what they do works. And again, it's not for me because I know what I do every day, and I'm not trying to convince anybody. I do the work. I let the work speak for itself. So I appreciate that, brother. Did you have a question to go along with that testimonial?
No, we'll just be dealing with you on the other half of that, and I just wanted so people would also know that, you know, I didn't necessarily make money from the debt collector, but it was an exchange of $1,500 worth of services. You know what I'm saying? From
there, there you go. Well, that is, you did make money because you would have had to pay that
right.
Had it went the other way. So don't look at the defense as not money. If you ward off a $1,500 debt collection action, you kept $1,500 in your pocket. There's no other math. I don't care if it's Chinese math. It is $1,500 in your pocket because had they obtained that order, they would have garnished your butt, took your wages, or did whatever else they had to do in your property for that $1,500. They were going to make it happen one way or the other. So now you need to go on offense and punish them for even bringing the action. That's the offense that I teach you how to employ on this show because if a robber pulls out a gun, okay, pulls out a gun to rob you, but you pull out a gun to thwart off the robbery, he still gets charged with attempted robbery, okay? So if a debt collector comes after you and you're able to thwart that off by whatever means and method, they still have to pay for bringing the action. You just don't pay by saying, okay, my fault, you caught me. You understand? No, bro, you got to pay.
Exactly.
So phase one is the defense. Phase two is the offense. And give me an email. We'll help you with that offense. Okay, brother? Appreciate you calling in, man.
Yes, sir. You,
love
you got
your story.
Right. Hopefully you call me after the show so we can go ahead and get squared away to handle this other serious issues. Okay?
Okay, brother. All right.
All right, peace.
All right. Peace, brother. Thank you. All right, let's go to 410-410-3953 on High Frequency Radio, The Debt Show with Brother Sharif. Do you have a question, comment, or concern?
I do. I have a question. Greetings, and thank you.
Greetings, sister. How are you?
I'm well.
Thank you.
Thank you. How are you? I know you're doing fine. I listen to you every Tuesday.
Oh, blessings.
Thanks for the information. I have
welcome.
A kind of a unique situation. A couple of years back, I had signed up under a gym membership, which then I have moved from that city, number one, and two, that same gym has been sold twice under different names and different ownerships. Now, every so often, they keep drafting my account. And I did a little test. I took all my money out that one account, which they are connected to, and nothing. They didn't touch it. I kept it clean for 2 months. They didn't come after me. They didn't take, well, they couldn't take any money. I didn't have anything in there. But the thing I was looking for a letter or some type of billing stating that I owe something to why they keep, you know, taking, drafting out of my account. So I'm thinking maybe it resolved itself. I started putting money back into that account, and bam, $10 there, $10 again, and they keep taking money out of my account. How can I stop it? I've called. I've talked to someone in accounting. I've been trying to get the names of the CEO or the CFO, but I keep getting the runaround. What should I do? How can I stop this?
Okay. The change of ownership, did the name of the company ever change?
Yes.
So the name of the company
was,
changed. That means it was ABC Gym, now it's Element OP Gym, correct?
Yep, correct.
Okay. Well, my opinion would be that's a new company, new business. I mean, just because you acquired the gym, you changed the name of the company changed. How can you surreptitiously start drafting my account from an old company that's no longer the creditor. So what you need to tell them is that, listen, you change your name from ABC Chicken to ABC Pork. I don't like pork. I don't like your gym. I don't like your equipment. I don't like your management staff. I mean, just because I had a membership with the previous gym don't mean I want to continue doing business with you. You need to, that is a debt collection. They are debt collectors. And you need to politely tell them, if you draft one more $10 fee, I'm going to take you in small claims court and I'm going to sue you under consumer protection law for deceptive practices because I don't have an agreement with you. I never gave you authority to withdraw any funds from my account. I do not want to continue doing business. I did business with the first gym. The first gym is out of business. They offered me something that you're not offering. Or for whatever reason, I don't want to continue doing business with any subsequent companies just because they happen to be in the same location or in the same field. So I would send them a letter, okay, and draft that letter with the spirit that you have as a mother, as a sister, and you would say, if you take one more $10, that $10 may cost you several thousand dollars. I will take you in small claims court. And as a matter of fact, I need you to refund every $10 payment that you took out of my account. Okay? And that's what you need to do under the consumer protection law. Yeah, if they didn't change name and they just acquired the company and it was the same name and you sign and execute that contract with them, then that would be different. But they just acquired the gym and changed the companies and they're just, you know, taking those accounts and assuming that the people want to continue their accounts, and they should have the option and prerogative to do so.
Now, this is a big problem. And can I say the name of the gym?
We don't know it anyway.
Planet Fitness. Yes, I said it. Planet Fitness.
Granite Fitness.
They are crooks. Yes. They are now called Planet Fitness. But when I joined, it was called 24-Hour Fitness. And I haven't stepped foot in that gym in over 4 years. Four years.
Wow.
And I even looked it up on the internet, and they have several lawsuits going on. This is a big deal. They keep drafting and drafting. All right,
small
now
claims court
I'm
sounds
I'm
like the venue you need to
better.
Visit. You definitely need to take a small claims action for deceptive practices, whatever state you're in. You need to send them a debt validation dispute because they're not a creditor. It doesn't sound like to me. Sounds like they're third party, okay? And you need to draft that letter specifically under your state consumer protection laws and your federal, your FDCPA. They're not reporting anything to your credit, so you don't have that basis. And you just need to say, listen, you've taken out 10 payments at $100. I need $100 plus cost, okay, plus interest that I would have acquired while my money was in the bank. And if you don't send that, this is a tort letter. To warn you of my notice of intent to bring a claim against you, to bring an action against you for violations of these laws. Okay, you have 5 days to tender payment to me. If not, no other warnings will be given, and I'll see you in court.
Okay.
And let them produce the contract that gave Planet Fitness the authority to take funds out of my bank account. And I don't think they have that. I think that contract is going to have another name on it, okay? Now, if it was a merger, that's different, maybe a little bit different, but it doesn't sound like it was a merger. It sounds like it was a total buyout and a change of ownership. Yes. Okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you so very much.
All right, sister. Thank you.
I appreciate
you. No problem. Sorry to cut you off. All right. We have 8 minutes left in the live stream. That means if you haven't called in, you will not be able to listen to the show except for if you're on the internet. So position yourself to continue listening. I'm going to go the full 4 hours today, although I only have a few calls. I might not go the full 4 hours. After I finish the call, we're going to go ahead and move on. All right? We're going to go to 248-625-6206. You're on the Debt Show with Brother Sharif. Do you have a question, comment, or concern?
Brother, I have a question.
Sure.
Now, on your webinars, now how can I receive them? Shoot you an email?
Shoot me an email at debtshow@yahoo.com, and I will send out another webinar list to everyone that is on my contact list. It will give you a synopsis of every webinar, what it has in it, the topics discussed. There's 6 of them. There will be 8 by this weekend. And then we'll you pick out which one, number one, number three, number five, number four, you'll be able to obtain the webinars through email.
Okay. Now let me ask you this. Now, within these webinars, are there going to be documents along with them to show you how to format your letters to these creditors?
Yes. On the two topics that I've done the webinars on, the FDCPA and the FCRA, there are documentation that you can use for your communications with the debt collectors, absolutely.
Okay. Now that applies to the foreclosure process as well, correct?
That applies to any debt collection.
Any debt collection. Okay. My man.
Yeah. You've heard the testimonials. You had people on here tell you that it stopped foreclosure. So obviously when those gurus and leaders tell you there's no remedy to the foreclosure crisis, I don't know. My students are telling you different. Okay, my students seem to know the difference in foreclosure or debt collection. So I don't know what they're talking about. But, you know, then again, I'm not surprised.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
All right, brother. Thank you for calling in, man, and we'll look to hear from you. And thank you for taking an interest, man, in your own education and being able to apply these fundamentals to your debt situation. It will enlighten you and your family, and once you have that information, it's not going anywhere. It's not like Jordache jeans or Tommy Hilfiger jeans where it's going to be good today and, you know, gone in a couple of months. This information is going to be endless, and it's going to aid
right.
you in your endeavors while doing business and commerce. So I appreciate you.
Hey, my man. Thank you, brother. Thank you so much.
Thank you, brother.
Peace. All
right. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you. Love you. All right, let's go to 919-919-2612. 919-2612. You're on the Debt Show with Brother Sharif. Do you have a question, comment, or concern?
How you doing today, brother?
I'm doing well, brother. Appreciate you.
Great.
Appreciate you for supporting the show. What's your question?
Oh, no problem. Hey, first of all, I just want to say the information you guys give out is priceless, man. And,
thank you, brother.
Just quick question for you. I'm the brother that kind of had a few complications with the webinar with the beginning of it. With the webinar, you were saying the part that I do have is you want to dispute all your personal information first. Now, should I do that in a letter or should I just do that with each credit bureau over the Internet?
Right. So you're talking about the FCR. And let me say this, everybody, to order the webinars. I did have an issue at first with GoToMeeting. I stopped using them. But the webinar, there was a codec that was available. So everyone has to understand that you can't use these webinars necessarily on iPads and on phones. Sometimes they don't pull up. They play perfect for me. And I got a regular computer. I don't have anything fancy. So you need to try, if it's not working on your particular computer, try another computer. What I'm in the process of doing, being that some of those webinars are in a WMV format, I'm going to get them all transposed into MP3, which should play for everybody. But I haven't had issues, and hundreds of these webinars has went out. And I'm sorry you're having that issue, brother. I also want to say this because you just brought something to mind. Yeah, I know, but it goes to sort of a beginning, but I think you're listening to the part where I say I got cut off, but it wasn't much cut off. But my webinars, you will know if you have it in its entirety, because all of my webinars are I don't think it's any less than 5 hours. So if you have a two-hour webinar, you don't have all of it.
I got a 2 hour and 28 minutes.
Okay. So I want you to email me, and we're going to get on the phone, and I'm going to go through the webinar on my end and go through it on your end, and let's see what's missing. I want to correct this for you because I know you've been having that issue. But I also want you to find it on another computer. But I want you to email me right now so I'll know after the show, before I get into 100 consultations, that we need to go over that webinar. Let me pull it up on my end, let you pull it up on your end, and let's see technically what's going on. Let me also say this to the family. I am appealing to all the Boricuas, all the Spanish speakers. My webinars will be translated into Spanish. For all of those, I have a lot of Spanish listeners. I'm getting a lot of emails. I will have each and every one of those webinars transposed into Spanish. Okay? So I'm just letting you know it will be done by April 1st, all right? So my webinars will now be available in Spanish because the Spanish community, as you can see, is in need of the same information, and I don't want this information to be lost due to some language barrier, all right? So, brother, I will definitely get with you on that after the show. Did you have a question?
Yeah, I guess when I get with you after the show, you'll be able to tell me if I need to do it in a format of a letter or just go on to East Credit Bureau and dispute
right.
it.
Yeah, my webinars are pretty explicit. It tells you how to do it. You have to do that through the credit bureaus, and not through letter. The only letter you're sending is your communications with a debt collector. Everything else is done through the credit bureaus, but it is a specific way you have to clean up your credit, and it's not done generically. There is a method and strategy, and that's the information that exists in those webinars. So don't think you can just do it by yourself. Okay?
Okay,
so we have 90 seconds in the live stream. I just want to let everybody know. Go ahead, brother.
Okay. When you were saying how people, they pile all this information on you, really don't explain it. I was dealing with a guy down here in North Carolina. That's exactly what he do, but when he pile all that information on you, that consultation is $150 an hour. He know you're going to have to call him to see what all this information is, and that's how they get over when you make that money on you.
Okay. Now, let me ask you a question since you brought that up, and I know they do that. I know exactly they do that. Let me ask you a question. What gentleman out there, what society out there, what group out there, what guru and what leader is giving you 5 hours plus of information?
Right.
Now, you see the way I talk. I'm not slow talking, okay? I'm a New Yorker. So I have that New York flow and that pace. So if I'm giving you 5 hours, I got to be explaining to you front to back what to do so you don't have to ask me any questions because I don't want the questions. I want you to get it. Okay,
exactly.
And for a donation of $150, and you heard you know, a man got rid of $2,000 in debt, stop foreclosure, $100,000, $200,000, I'm not looking for the consultation, but in some respects it's needed. But the consultation will be more about strategy or what to do or what not to do. You know, that's the kind of consultations that I want. But I don't want to – I haven't gotten many questions after the people have received my webinars. Thank God. I mean, so I know that they're thorough, okay? So, you know, I appreciate you saying that.
With the information I do have, I can basically do what I need to do without the beginning.
There you go.
That's how exquisite you are.
There you go.
Well, I appreciate it,
that. Even missing half of it, you still got enough to execute.
I mean, I can miss half, but not to still do it.
All right. Good blessings, man. I appreciate that. And that's something that's one of the things why I preach self-empowerment on this show, because the legal society does you the same way. You're hiring an attorney. You don't know what the hell he's doing. You don't know what he's supposed to do, and you don't know what he's done. And all he says at the end is shake his hand and be like, come back and see me if you need anything else. See, I don't want that. I want these webinars. Look, I know that they're black marketing my webinars. I know there's some leaders and gurus out there, and I'm not going to name them, that's packaged some of my webinars, and they're selling them along with the documents. You understand? I already know that. But listen, man, they're going to do that anyway. We're going to have a community that does that. And, you know, but I don't do it here. Do you understand? There's groups out there that has memberships, and part of that membership is the information that I do, that I give. Listen, so be it, all right? I'm just trying to uplift the people, but I'm not trying to build return business. I'm trying to educate you, because if I educate you, then you'll take that to your communities and your family and your groups, and now I'll be able to focus on doing many other things which we're doing. So I appreciate you, brother. I'm going to go to the next
call.
Definitely email me. I'll take care of that technical issue. Issue that you're having, but thank you for the support, man. Appreciate it. All right, let's go to 323-9309, 323-9309. I believe that's the West Side. Do you have a question? You're on a debt show. 323-9309. All right, let's go to 478-0169, 478-0169. You're on the debt show. Do you have a question?
Yes, sir. How you doing, brother?
Peace, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, sir.
Welcome to the debt show.
Yes, sir. I have a couple of questions. One is, I had a hearing yesterday, and just let me back up a little bit. 2010, I got put out, and they done they said that they had a foreclosure and they done it illegal. All right, but since then, I've done some filing documents, but I didn't know about this show. And yesterday, they had a hearing, because I moved back in the house. They had a hearing to say I was a intruder. So I went on and had the hearing, and I was fortunate enough to get in on some, I went on one of your talk shows, and I was able to use debt collectors. And I brought it into the judge and told the judge, you know, the attorney came in and he identified, you know, we say the state's name and everything, and then I stated my name and everything, and then the judge asked him to state, you know, and I object to it, and I told him I didn't know who he was. I asked him, did he have a witness? He didn't have no witness. The judge took it off, and the judge said that he know this law firm or something. I said, yeah, that still ain't good enough. I said, nah. I said, he talked like he's a lender, a mortgager, but
he's a debtor. I like that.
And I told him that. And you know what? The judge went along with him. You know, they done that for, I think they had the bond made up for even before he got there. But I was able to give him that letter to let him know that he had broke, you know, the federal laws, you know, on it. And I gave him a letter and gave him a letter. And so after, you know, we left the courtroom, I was able to go down there and file a kind of affidavit to the, you know, at the sheriff. And I done went to the courthouse, and I explained to the sheriff what he had to do. And I haven't heard anything else. I'm home now. I need to know what's the next move I need to make.
Well, good. Blessings on your relief.
Yes,
I'm glad,
sir,
you were able to employ some of the tactics and strategies and information and vernacular used on this show to be able to communicate effectively with them. It sounds like you've done everything you can do. You provided notice that they're a debt collector and they need to validate and verify the debt. You let the judge know that it's a debt collection action. I think you let it get too far. Sounds like
so.
You left the house, then went back in. That's going to be looked at as illegal if they conducted a foreclosure and you left the property and then went back in. They're going to deem you to be an intruder or a trespasser.
Okay? Well, they put me out. They sent me out illegal.
Oh.
You know, we sent.
Well.
They sent the sheriff in and set us out. You
yeah.
know, and I told
yeah,
them
if they put you
illegal.
Out. Yeah, if they put you
yes,
out
sir.
And use a legitimate court process and they put you out, you're not supposed to go back in there. I know there's some people out there that tell you to go back in your home, but they're gonna arrest you if you do that. If they put you out, you had your due process time, and you were afforded the opportunity to defend yourself in court, and you obviously lost, which is why they conducted the eviction. You can't go back in and then assert some affirmative defenses and say, oh, well, I realize that was wrong. Well, you were there. So be careful with that. They will treat you as a trespasser because the bank or the debt collector, whoever they are, afforded you due process. They went to the court with every action. They did foreclosure. They did the eviction. And you can't come later and do a counter affidavit and go back into the property. That's not the proper way to do it. And I would urge you to be careful on doing things that way. I don't want you in any criminal situation to where now the civil rights that you may be able to exert is no longer there because you're dealing with a criminal matter. So I would suggest to you, if they did an eviction, whether it was illegal or not, you had an opportunity to defend yourself and you lost, then that's res judicata. That means that it's already been determined and you were determined to be a tenant and you didn't put up a good enough defense to be able to throw it off the eviction. So take that as an experience. Educate yourself for next time. But I'm going to suggest that you be careful with what you're doing if it's based on what you just told me.
Well, what's happened, I mean, there was some documents that I filed that I had experience with, and they kept on coming after me at debt collection. I mean,
uh-huh.
you know, after that money. And so we you know, back and forward, and then, you know, I kind of got him in default with it, and that's why I let him know I was moving back in, this is what I've done, and I sent him a letter, and they had, you know, 15 days, and I used the
I want you to hold up right there. Want you to hold it right there. I can't let you get away with that. Now, I'm not going to let you leave my show and be doing some patriot or some self-serving process that is not supported by law. You can't give anybody a time frame to do anything. You can't give them 15 days and default them and do a what you call a notarial process or administrative process. None of those are supported by law. You can't do anything but what the law say you can do. You can communicate all you want, but nobody can send me something and say you got 24 hours and the law says 24 days. Everything you send me better be somewhere where I can put my finger on that law or statute. Other than that, what you're telling me, I'm going to ignore because it's not based on any law. So I don't want you mixing what's on this show and mixing what somebody else tell you or sell to you or give to you as some self-serving documentation that you can take the law into your own hands. That's what the laws are there for. I don't subscribe to none of that. If I can't put my finger on it or send you to a law library, it doesn't work for me. It may work, but it doesn't work for me and not to the people that I speak to in this community or on this call. So, again, with what you're telling me, I want you to just go ahead and leave that property because you are trespassing, and they will arrest you for what you're telling me that you're doing. And you're mixing good documentation with bad documentation. You understand? You're mixing all in vinegar. So until you're studied enough and you're educated enough, sir, I would just advise you to go ahead and just let that property go. And do better next time. Educate yourself better next time because you're putting yourself into a criminal situation, and I don't want to see you doing that.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
I love you, and that's the only reason why I'm telling you.
Okay. All right.
All right, brother. Thank you for your call.
Thank you.
All right. As y'all know, Brother Sharif is going to always keep it real with you. I know this information comes from all directions where, you know, we feel that we can do what we want to do and give debt collectors time frames and, you know, do administrative processes or any other process. But, you know, that's not something I subscribe to. If I can't put my finger on the law, I'm not going to talk about it. That's just where I stand until I am taught or showed otherwise. All right, let's go to 678-8067, 678-8067. You're on the Debt Show with Brother Sharif. Do you have a question, comment, or concern?
Greetings. How you doing? This is Brother Samu.
Peace and greetings, Brother Samu.
I was listening to one of your last week's shows, and I do give you the three A's, the astute, and you're assertive, and your knowledge. But when you say that everybody got to be responsible, you know, for reading the contract, I disagree with it because the fact that it's not holding the you know, lawyers and all the participants accreditable for what they are doing. Back in 2006, when I guess during the first ending of the foreclosure period, it have allowed that class of people to continue to perpetuate what they're doing up to this day of 2014. And you know, and even the talk shows, the local talk shows back then was saying that, everybody should have read the contracts. Everybody should have, you know, you don't go to when you go get your car repaired, you don't sit there and read the contract and get up under the car and see if every screwed on and all that. You know, and then you're looking at commerce. I mean, in every article in UCC stating that that these corporations have to be dealing with clean hands. So, you know, but I was just saying that when we put that out there, we just continue to allow these people to trample all over us. And I think we should bring this into some type of a balance and try to, and because these people are parasitic predators off of people, man. You know, we just can't just put that out there, man, just because the media put that out there saying that. We got to be responsible. It has to be a balance somewhere, you know, to where
We have to bring these people in accountability of what they're doing. You know, just because they hold an upper class position, it don't give them the right to go there and tamper with the stupidest person in the world. I mean, come on. You know, it doesn't even make sense. Every time you're saying that you go, you know, you file lawsuits, you go to court, and you get a claim. A claim is a victim. Every time you put in a plea, you're a victim. So you can't just point at people and just say that they're victims. I understand. You know, I give you the up. You know, you're an astute brother. You're a knowledgeable brother. You know, and you know, you know, I even admire your show. But anybody that put that out there saying that crime victim it's your fault because you didn't read the contract. I mean, this is commerce, man. Everybody, this is, you know, the time. And even when I signed the contract, yeah, you know, I wanted to go to a strip club, get me a rag top and ride around. But that don't give them the right to tamper all over, you know, my contract or the business that we are taking place in.
Okay, great.
You know what I'm saying?
Let me address your concern, and it is duly noted. And let me say this: are victims not entitled to compensation?
Sure.
Okay, so victims are entitled to compensation. I mean, if somebody injures you, we have what we call insurance. Corporations have insurance. We have insurance. We have liability statutes. We have laws. We have consumer protection laws. We have product protection laws. I mean, we have everything available to us. But let me say this: when people talk about the victim, being a victim affords me a very good life. Okay? Whether you're a victim of consumer debt fraud or a consumer law violation, there is a liability statute that is attached to anything or any injury or a tort claim for any injury you sustain at the hands of a debt collector. And there's what we call contract law. And this is why I say, and I'll say this again, and I'm not going to move off my position because I don't want you to move off yours. For every deceptive practice, I have said this 1,000 times, there is a statute within the FDCPA and the FCRA and your state consumer protection laws for every deceptive practice that you may experience at the hands of a debt collector, not the Uniform Commercial Code. See, people confuse the Uniform Commercial Code.
It's a claim. But
okay.
I'm just saying, when the local radio put the fix, you know, they put that out there back in 2006.
Right.
They put it out there that everybody didn't read the contract and everybody was a victim. You know, everybody claiming them. You know, when you claim victim, when they break their own rules, when they break the rules of the statute you just stated, you can't say that the public and the consumer can't claim victim.
Hold up, brother. Let me answer your question now because you're engaging me, so let me answer the question. I didn't say you can't claim victim. I just don't use that word. I'm not a victim. I'm happy when they violate some provision of the consumer protection laws because I get paid when they do it. Now, let me tell you about this. It's what we call contractually obligated, contractual responsibility. We can't claim to be a victim of a debt contract when we signed it willingly. You are signing and executing contracts daily. So now you want to sign a contract, you want to agree to certain terms of that contract when it works for you, and then when you become at a point to where you can't contractually perform, you want to claim that you were a victim of fraud. So in other words, when we get into default and then the creditor, if it's a legitimate creditor, is taking actions to regain his collateral because you're not performing as agreed, now all the fraud and the victims and all that stuff. I don't subscribe to that, brother. What I'm saying is this. We have to be responsible for our own actions. We go to church. We give the pastor tithes and offerings. He flies around in a helicopter. He does what we got to do. Are we a victim at that point when we go home and we're getting kicked out on the street? I mean, we only
you know
apply
what I'm trying
this
to tell
victim.
You, Calm down. Go ahead.
What we have to understand is we have to be responsible and liable for our portion. If we are not performing and we're in default, we can't cry murder because we're not paying anymore. Now the contract doesn't work for us because the creditor that extended you some form of credit that you benefited from, car, motorcycle, house, okay, is being taken away because you don't have the economic stability to be able to continue to perform. Where did they commit fraud against you? Now, this is
what
is fraud.
What I'm trying to tell you,
Let me finish one thing and I'll let you go.
That's all I'm trying to tell you.
Okay. You said RICO fraud? What RICO fraud?
It was a RICO fraud because 2006,
right.
When it first started, you can go out there right now, the minority statistic will show you that all the minorities that got loans,
there was some predator behavior.
They just lowered their credit score to they had to fit in a position to take a certain loan.
Sure. So
you
there was some predator behavior. We understand exactly what you're saying. But within everything that they did, you have a liability statute to be able to go make a claim, if that's the way you want to put it, or file a complaint to recoup your damages. So it's not like they're hitting you with the contract that you signed, that you willingly signed, and that you enjoyed for 15 years, you're doing fine. When the economy was doing well, you were paying your payments. You didn't read the contract. And then at the end, when you don't want to pay,
if you go to an auto shop, do you sit there and read the contract when they finish with your car?
Yeah, I do. Let me tell you why I do. You want to know why? Let me answer you, brother. You can't debate with me. That's your position and this is mine. Let me debate with you. Yeah, I read the damn contract because I want to know when I get my car fixed that if it breaks down 2 days later that I can bring it back. But you know what we do? We'll take the car. We don't read nothing. And then we come back 2 days later and they be like, I'm sorry, we don't have a return policy or we don't cover after a certain amount of days. This is our problem. Let me finish.
That's not my profession.
You can't. All right, bro. I'm going to cut you off if you don't let me talk. You understand what I'm saying?
I'm not here to have a debate.
This is my show. So if you don't read the contract, then you're going
to
fall into the category of saying you're a victim. Let's move on, man. I don't have time to deal with arguments on my show about not reading the contract. If we don't want to be responsible, don't enter into commerce. That's just plain ignorance to have to argue with somebody that says, well, I shouldn't have to read the contract because basically you should cover my ignorance. I mean, come on, let's grow up, man. Really, let's really grow up. We can read, can't we? We go to church, we read the Bible front and back. Let's grow up, read the contract. Yeah, I read everything because I'm finding a way to get some money or protect my family from losing money by not understanding the contract. I don't know how you can have a grown man show up on anybody's show and say we're victims because we had the same contract they had and they wrote something in there in case of default of what they're going to do. Don't call me and do business with me. Because you gonna claim that I pull something over your eyes when the shit is there in black and white. Grow up. Let's move on. I'm sorry. Let's go on to 313-8214. 313-8214. You're on the high frequency radio. Do you have a question?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, brother.
Okay. Yeah. It was in regards kind of something what he was talking about when you talking about an obligation and debt. Now,
indeed.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Yeah. So if you get, let's just say, what is it, when they, garnishment.
Uh-huh.
And fraud is found through garnishment. Or not, well, you should not, let's not just say fraud. Let's just say wrongdoing. And there's some fishy stuff going on with the garnishment. Will the consumer protection laws afford you remedy with that?
Well, it all depends on how they acquired that garnishment, who acquired that garnishment. If you have a debt collector that acquired a garnishment, you have to go back to the procedure, which is the court process, to challenge jurisdiction. What's jurisdiction? We don't think you had the authority to get that judgment because you're a debt collector. You wasn't owed that money. But what did you do? Did you participate? Did you go to court? Or did you let it happen? Were you served properly, or did you let it happen? You know, when you're dealing with garnishments, the only thing that's going to help you in a garnishment is you need to consult a bankruptcy attorney and consider filing bankruptcy to stop that garnishment if they're an unsecured debt collector or creditor.
Okay, now.
Or you need to find some defect in their process where they didn't serve you or some other issue, legal issue, that would afford you a way to void that judgment on the basis of some defect. Okay.
Okay. The reason why I asked that, because it was something in lines with Tosh Tariq Bey was talking about how the companies kind of like tower on top of each other, but there is one entity at the top. So now I'm speaking in turn. I know you don't want to go too much in this, on the subject, but as far as child support, now that's an obligation, yes, for you, the mother, and the child on a natural aspect of speaking of law, but when it comes to the commerce part, you know, it's in terms of a contract, right? And I'm pretty sure it's safe to say that most people don't agree to that. It's by way of a lot of different other contracts that's via speaking child support, which would be the Social Security Act. So, you know, how, again, consumer protection laws aid you in any sort with that?
Not child support, brother. You're not, even if you file bankruptcy, child support.
Well, I know
state.
That.
Okay, so
it's like a.
Uh-huh.
It's like a. I know that's a. That goes. That's like a continuance thing. So, it just was a thought.
Okay. Definitely with child support, brother, that's not anything consumer protection-wise that's going to help you with that. That's an issue that, you know, we need to work out with our queens and our mothers of our children. We need to work that out, to stay out of those venues because, you know, those venues are traps and they're set up to, again, oppress you in an economic manner. So, I don't think I can help you on that. Garnishment. Uh-huh.
That kind of was my point. You know, that it's like it's set up as a trap, you like, you know, with some of those instruments. So I know I don't hear too many people cover it. Every once in a while they touch on it, but not too much. So I was just asking.
Sure, brother.
I mean, I'm fine
Thank
with
you,
my
man.
Situation, but I'm, I don't
know. Oh,
I
know.
I was just asking.
You were just interested in the question. Sure. Your mind, your conscience is being pricked on different levels, so you wanted to see how you can relate some of this information to other areas that you might be talking to people that's experiencing that. Or you might be in that situation later, so you want to be prepared.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate
right.
it.
I appreciate your call, brother. All right. Let me bring the priest in, man, because the priest called back in. Obviously, my priest heard that I maybe got a little bit spiritually off balance by dealing with some of the calls. But, priest, help me out with this mindset that we're victims, and we have callers that come in and talk about the Uniform Commercial Code that doesn't apply to the consumer protection arena. They don't know the difference in debt and creditor. So they call and they want to feel sorry for themselves. They want to be victims. They want to appeal to the government. They want to march. They want to have fish fries, chicken fries, and try to talk about how we've been damaged. Tell me your opinion on that, priest, and how do we handle people that is in that mindset, if you would, please. Bring me back down. You know, I can't Shalom. When we start playing that victim crap and start talking about uniform commercial code and don't know the difference in black and white and want to play victim but don't understand that there's insurance and liability statutes that hold anybody accountable for any type of damage we sustain, but then they want to argue with you and try to argue that you're trying to not make them a victim. I don't care. You want to be a victim? Go right ahead. Educate yourself and you'll never be a victim again. Tell me about those type people and how am I able to appeal to those people spiritually, priest?
Well, all right, he got your blood pressure up. You know, we got to still demonstrate love to the brother. There are three things that Yahweh taught us in the scriptures, and this is what you need to do before you deal with any type of contract. You need to, before you go into the court, this is why you need a priest. This is why you need your spiritual training before you start saying that you're a victim to anything. You became a victim. Adam and Eve tried to blame it on each other from Genesis. She said, well, the serpent told me this, and then you brought the woman to me, Yahweh. And I mean, you know, you have to, they, neither one of them took responsibility. Both of them sinned. Both of them didn't hearken unto the voice of Yahweh. So when they both sinned, they both blamed each other. Instead of them standing up for what they were supposed to is repent, learn from what they did wrong in the garden, then they would have understood the responsibility and Yahweh would have forgiven them and they wouldn't have never been kicked out of the garden. So to deal with that type of individual, that type of mind, people, please, Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 said, meditate on the laws therein day and night that thou shalt prosper and have good success. Number two, family. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Yahweh, be a workman. You must work in this business. Workman, do not be ashamed of what you have caused yourself to get into, but rightly divide the word of truth. You must divide yourself from what you have done. And final and last, family, Revelation chapter 1 verse 3 says, blessed are those who read it. So you must meditate, you must study, and you must read these contracts that you're getting yourself in. Stop just signing your signature on. Stop worshiping the god of mammon, which is the god of material. Now you all want this new car, or I want this new house, I need this watch, this cell phone. You need to read these contracts when you're reading these contracts so you'll know what you're exactly signing into. Okay? These are the terms and conditions. That's why they have that in those contracts. You need to understand the terms and conditions in every contract you sign. Yes, I read. Just like Brother Sharif said, yes, I read my contracts, because if I'm dealing with something and I have to return it, I need to know how many days, weeks, months, what is the terms and conditions of this contract that I'm into. Okay? So, Brother Sharif, you can't let anybody ruffle your feathers up. This is a show of peace, love. This is a show of tranquility. This is a show of strengthening every humanity and all the endowers. We will not allow someone to come in who have not did their full study, because I can hear when somebody has done their full studies than when somebody has not done their full studies. You have testimony after testimony after testimony of success. That's what I need to hear. I don't need to hear what we're victim. They need to go study the word victim, and then you'll know that you already victimize yourself when you sign a contract and didn't obey the laws of Yahweh. Because I'm going to tell you, in Exodus chapter 23, verse 32 and 33, Yahweh said, do not enter into a covenant with them nor their gods. So you enter into a contract with these people anyway, and you violate a divine order. So I can go on and on and on. And since you did that, you became a debt. And then now you owe your debtors. That's why I say the Our Father prayer, forgive our debtors. You got to forgive them for what they have done to you, and correct yourself. That's why Moses, when he went into the courts of Pharaoh, he was able to cast his rod down. Rod means correction. When you correct yourself and cast your rod to the ground, then you'll stand on your ground. You'll have grounds to stand. Okay? Then you'll stand upright like the rod does. It keeps you upright. So you must cast your rod, correct yourself in commerce on these contracts to be able to eat up the words of the serpent. And I can go on, but I'm not here to take over your show, brother.
Well,
I'm just here to enlighten the family.
Thank you.
You know,
because you must have heard that the lion was about to come out, and you called in and helped your king. Because I was man, I just, you know, one of the key words for me is victim, And then you get callers talking about RICO. You can't prosecute RICO. In fact, RICO was one of the charges that they levied upon you, Priest. So how are you talking about RICO, and you're talking about mainstream media, and you're talking about High Frequency Radio Network? Those two entities collide because one is fictional, one is programming your mind, mainstream media. The news said this and the news said that. And then you're going to come over here and try to transpose that information on a reality network that tells you what it really is, and you're going to try to convince the host that you're a victim. Man, go ahead. If you want to be a victim, brother, go right ahead, man. I'm not going to argue with that. But what I'm saying is don't come on here trying to convince me that everybody on this show is victims, because that's not the truth.
Well, listen here. The RICO charge that they tried to hit me with is commercial RICO, and you can't do RICO anyway in a state venue. RICO is under the federal venue, and RICO, the Racket to Influence Corrupt Organization under USC Title 18, Section 1950 through 1968, deals only with corporations in the first place, and you need to be part of the federal administration to even establish the RICO. So when you want to sue these people, you have to sue under Title 15 because you're a living, breathing soul. You sue corporations under Title 15, and I can go on and show you how to demonstrate that because I was in the RICO. I understand RICO. I know that's why they couldn't beat me at RICO, because it was never RICO. It was never any charge. They were just trying to demonstrate to not let you know what I know, and that's the bottom line. Let me get out
of
here.
All right, I'm going to give a shout-out to Roy T. on the chat, and Roy T. said this to the last caller that changed the spirit of the call. I got to be smart enough not to allow that. He said, to argue with a person who has renounced the use of reason is like administering medicine to the dead. Roy, be nice. All right, Priest, I thank you for that. Thank you for coming in and putting the balance back to the call. Let's go on, man, and help uplift the people. Thank you for calling back in because you were gone. So you must have heard something, or you must have heard that call. That came in and said, let me level them out. Let me level them out. But I'm good now. Let's move on. Thank you, Priest. Let's move on to 347-4340. You're on High Frequency Radio. Do you have a question? 347-4340.
How you doing, brother?
Peace.
Yeah, been listening to the show. I'm Sharif, this is like my first time actually catching a full duration of your show. And brother, if I was an octopus, you get 8 thumbs up. But
thank you, man. Thank you.
My thing is, like I said, I've been listening to High Frequency Radio since the beginning of the year, and you, Sharif, Yusuf, and Brother Savage, and Brother Taj Tariq, you know, I'm into everything. I'm at the point now to where I've done spiritual reading, you know, from like the 95 to like 2014. I've just been, you know, studying, oh, the black man, the black woman, has got all that is extra to me now. So my thing is, like, in order to try to, like, bring myself back down to earth and be amongst my people mentally, how can I convey this? Because I don't have a lot of knowledge in this stuff. I know that there's something wrong. You know, I know that I've been bit. What bit me, you know, and how to get the remedy for the bite is what I'm working on. But I have, like, I have younger brothers and sisters, you know, who look up to me, and they know that I'm not lying to them about what's going on. They can see partially, but, you know, there's a point in time where a person goes home and they say, man, you know, I don't care about all that. You know, I just want to be able to get up and go to work in the morning and pay my bills and be good, be a good person. But there's more. I see that there's more to it than just being a good or a nice person, because good and nice people get killed and get kicked out of their homes and get their livelihood snatched from under their feet, and they're stuck with nobody to blame. Now, true. I you know, everybody is in debt, and or they succumb to some force of some sort of debt in their life, whether it was voluntary or involuntary. And what I really would like to get across to my family personally, is that we all need to know this knowledge together. It's not like, you know, it's not like in the ancient days where we had that one medicine man, and then we had that one, you know, I don't want to be all things to everybody. I want to be what I need to be to that, you know, for that. You get what I'm saying, Sharif? I'm not trying to be like, you know,
I feel you,
I'm not a guru,
I feel you,
and I don't
spirit.
Listen to,
I know what you're doing. You're trying to put everything into perspective. You're trying to see what's first, what's second. What do I need to learn? Well, first, I would say, and the priest will probably chime in, you need to learn self, and you need to get that spiritual foundation. I'm going to be honest with you. I was without that for a while. I'm gaining it through the priest. You know, I was just all business, all work, all just what I knew, my experiences. So I'm providing, I'm acquiring that deeper level of self and spirituality. That's one. And then you need to learn, if this is what you're doing, you need to learn commerce, and you need to know how to interface and have intercourse with the commercial world. You need to know contract law. You need to know how to read those contracts. You need to know how to stay away from certain contracts. You need to know how to indemnify yourself in case you make a mistake, okay, which is what commerce is all about. It's insurances and it's bonds, okay, bonding your action, insuring your behavior. So this is what I would say. You start with self and spirituality first, okay, and then you get into what area of expertise or what area you spend the most time in. If it's commercially, if it's a skill set, then you need to learn that skill set and the laws of that skill set. But we all have debt, which is why I chose this lane to be in, because this is a lane that will destroy even your spirituality. And this is why I focus on this, not because I can't talk about esoterical things and history and things that, and spirituality. That alone is not going to pay the bills. That alone is not going to allow you to build community. That alone is not going to allow you to advance in this world. You have to do commerce. You have to do business in this world. So if we're doing business daily, I need to know the rules and the regulations and the contract of doing business. So, brother, what I would say, start with those two things. I know you got bills coming in the mail. Okay, start with that. Start with the consumer protection law. Start reading your contracts. We don't read our contracts until we're in default, and then we want to complain and cry and whine that, oh, there was something in there that you wasn't supposed to do. Well, that's called breach of contract if there's something in there that conflicts with state or federal law. You just can't put anything in a contract, okay, even though I agree to it. You understand what I mean? So, you know, this is what we have to understand, and this is the education that I'm bringing. And I hear, brother, that you want to know where to start, not as opposed to when to start. You're ready to start. You know something is not right. Your third eye is telling you that something is not right. That something that is not right starts within you first. Because there's something not right with your knowledge. There's something not right with you knowing who you are. I'm going to bring the priest in to kind of add to the answer, because I think the answer that you're looking for is more of a spiritual answer. Priest, can you aid the brother, please?
Yes. Can you repeat the question one more time?
The question was, he wants to know where to start. He knows that something is not right in his spirit about doing commerce, about the world. He tells his family he wants to take something to his family, I believe, that's able to explain to them what's really going on. Okay?
Right.
And I believe that's where the brother's question is.
Right.
Okay. Number one, when you're dealing with commerce, everything started in Genesis, and then when you get into studying Genesis, you'll see everything that they did in Genesis was commerce, was business, was trust law. And when you get into understanding Genesis, and when you get through Genesis, go into Exodus, and that's how we went into the hands of another nation on the commerce, on the contract law. We was on the contract law in the book of Exodus. That's why I keep repeating Exodus so much, because we went into contract law in the book of Exodus, and we had to get delivered by Yahweh to break those contracts. We had to first learn the divine law. When you learn your divine spiritual law, then you'll understand that they created a fiction. I mean, I can go all the way back to Genesis and show you that they created the contract fictional law way back in Genesis, bro. So, and then when you understand Genesis, then you understand Exodus, and then you'll know how to exit yourself out of the contract and still operate in commerce, brother. You'll be able to have your divine spirit, your divine mind, separate from the fictional world. You'll know how to deal with it. Brother Sharif is doing he's the best in the country. I've been listening to a lot of talk shows. He's the best in the country at dealing with debt, and I have listen to a lot of people talking about debt. I listen to a lot of gurus. Listen to all these different philosophies.
I have never heard as many successful stories as I hear on this brother's show. I'm telling you the business, and I've been on a lot of talk shows and stuff like that. So that's where you start at, brother. You start with Genesis. You start with Exodus, because Genesis breaks. It deals with your genes. That's why it's called Genesis. It deals with your genes. Your genes goes all the way back into your genes and chromosomes, your DNA, which deals with your cells and your mind, brother.
One generation, genealogy, yeah.
Yes. Yes, and when you get into that, then you'll be able to understand how Satan put in different programs inside of your mind from Genesis, brother. He programmed us for 6,000 years, and that's where things been going wrong at, brother, in the fictional world. Remember, Satan deals with deception, and he deals with it in an illusion.
Yeah,
yes,
he deals with,
yes.
He deals between the ticks and the tocks of time. Okay, now this,
yes.
Now this is another thing I have. Okay, I'm pretty skillful. You know, I'm pretty good with my hands. You know, I've worked on building homes, building churches, building buildings, and tearing some down. My natural skill is I'm an artist. I sculpt, I carve, I do all that stuff. And I found that our value system has been completely altered from, you know, what. Okay, put it like this. A person finds gold in a mine, right? And the mind is like filled. The veins in this mind are like, I mean, they're like dripping gold all over the place. For the outside person who don't really know nothing about gold or metal, it's just another metal. It's another gift from the planet. But there's sometimes like we take things and we overvalue them, and we give other things the attention of value that have no worth at all. And then what I'm seeing is in dealing in like art and jewelry and stuff is that, yeah, jewelry is not a necessity to some degree. But for those who need some kind of spiritual, or they want to express, because, okay, this is what I'm trying to say. I don't make jewelry to sell. I don't make art to sell. I found that out about myself. I don't make art to sell. Therefore, I can't get upset when people are, you know, coming to me looking for things. But what I do is I make pieces for people that I come in contact with personally that need something from me. They want something spiritually from me. I'm not a high priest. I'm not, you know, a pastor, a reverend. I just know that in this walk that I've been doing and the skills that I've obtained, they help me connect with people more.
Okay.
That is the value.
Let me say this. I'm going to cut you a little bit short, because this is what I think you need to do, and this is what I'm reading in you, and I have to be cognizant of time. What I think is I think you're trying to find your spiritual foundation, and I think you're trying to understand what it is you're offering this country and this world and the universe, and you need help trying to find that. I think you should hook up with the priest. You should email me at debtshow@yahoo.com, and you should set up a consultation so the priest can narrow your perspective and try to get you to understand or understand what it is you're supposed to be doing, and that's what I hear. But I want you to go ahead and email me. I'll set you up with the priest, and I think metaphysically he can put you on that path so you know who you are and what your cause and what your cause is on this planet. I appreciate your call, brother. I got to go to the next call, try to finish out. I only have 15 minutes left, but thank you for supporting
me. Okay, send me the email again. Send me the email once more.
Yes,
please.
Sir. Thank you,
right.
Man. All right. Let's go to 830-2461. You're on High Frequency Radio, 830-2461.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to be filing a Chapter 11. It's not happening yet, and I'm already behind in my payments. So I want to know what the I've got letters that say I've got till April 14th, I guess, before they're going to put me into default. So I don't know if they really are going to do it, but I want to prepare for it. And so I'm asking you what the best method is to prolong the process so that I'll have time to get into Chapter 11.
I think you need to consult a bankruptcy attorney and see what's going on. Even if they start a process, and then you're going to file Chapter 11, then, you know, you have certain protections and injunctions against any collections
at the time you file that
Chapter 11. I'm sorry?
That's already happening. It's not a personal, it's a corporate Chapter 11.
Right. I understand what an 11 is, yes. So you're saying for your personal, what you should do?
Yeah, so that I just basically want to hold off the it's city and it's third party debt collector of MERS. I've gone through the whole process. I've been doing this for a year and finally ended up with the Chapter 11 being the solution. But once the Chapter 11 absolves the debt, I still want to know what I'm going to do to get rid of their claim on the mortgage, correct? And then I still have the debt obligation, so I want to know what to do to insure myself against them coming back. And I've been told that they won't ever come back because they don't have anything to get, but I want to make sure that I know about getting into a trust, and I want to do that. But basically right now, what I want to do is just prolong, give myself another 6 months forward. I have a securitization audit complaint made out already that I've never put in because I figured out by the time I got the complaint that that wasn't the way to go.
Okay.
But
right.
If
it sounds like it sounds like you got a lot of things going on. I don't think I'll be able to address all the elements of your situation. You speak in Chapter 11, then you're talking about trust, then you're talking about personal debt. So it's going to be hard for me to be able to give you an answer on all those elements. I think you just need to email me and maybe I can give you some direction. But it sounds like you just need a bankruptcy attorney and do both a personal and corporate bankruptcy 11 and a 7 or 13, and maybe you just need to consult an attorney and just deal with it all at once.
I guess I confused you by bringing that in. I'm not confused about what to do. I just need to know what to do now as far as the next 2 or 3 months go to if I do get presented with a notice of default or a UD, whatever they're going to send me, what is my avenue to
Your avenue is to take offense and sue them if that notice of default comes from the wrong party. If it comes from a debt collector or a servicer that does not have standing to issue a notice of default, that is a function of the lender, if you have a lender. If it's a debt collector, they have no business sending you a notice of default because they're not creditors, and those are creditor-related instruments. So you have to understand the difference between foreclosure. Let me finish. Between foreclosure and debt collection. So, you know, those are
that.
Information
I listened
that
to you last night.
Okay.
I listened to you last night. I got all that.
Uh-huh.
I want to know,
gotcha.
Is there
okay.
a complaint
well,
form that I need
okay.
to fill out? I guess that's what
right.
I should
so
ask.
If you got what I said last night and you want to hisadvocate.org, you need to get the webinars because it will step you through how you need to handle those matters offensively. It's not something I can give you an answer with 5 minutes left on the call.
And I'll email you and will you send me
the
webinar?
Debtshow@yahoo.com. Debtshow@yahoo.com. You can email me.
Say that again one more time.
Debtshow@yahoo.com.
Okay. There you
yes,
go.
Sir.
And I'll email you. And then,
all right.
And then you'll send me a list of
yes,
the
sir.
Webinars
I'll send you
and
information on the webinars that will help you with what you're trying to do. Sounds like you have a FDCPA situation, and I have two webinars on that. You probably also have an FCRA issue because I'm sure they're reporting those debts to the credit bureau. So, you know, those webinars will definitely help you and provide you with some documentation sampling that will be able to start the communication, and you can start off on the offensive as opposed to the defensive. Okay.
So once I start off on the offense, will this inhibit or harm the Chapter 11 in any way?
Well, not your corporate, not your 11, because your 11 is about your corporate debt. Now, if you're dealing with corporate debt, you can't use the consumer protection laws with a corporation. The FDCPA
right.
is for a natural person. So personally,
right.
yes, it will help you. Corporately, no.
Okay. Thank
okay.
you.
Thank you so
okay.
much. All right. All right. We got about 9 minutes left. I'm going to try to get these quick calls in. Let's go to, I got a 59-minute. Let's go to 913-7330. Do you have a quick question? 913-7330. All right. Let's go to 205-9101. 205-9101.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. You're on the air.
Yes. If I have someone, I'm just going to get straight to the point. I heard you say we have a few minutes left. I have someone, a lawyer, and I was in an accident. And point in case, the lady is trying to sue me for $14,000, but she was the passenger,
And then I have another case through this lawyer. The lawyer had been, like, getting over on me when I had lack of knowledge of what was going on. And I was just trying to see, do you think it is best for me to just file Chapter 7 and just get rid of the debt completely, or go try to go to court and fight the case, which I really don't have the money to pay for a lawyer to fight the case, and I'm not as knowledgeable as I would like to be right now. That's why I'm listening to your show. I just, you know, heard about your show, and I'm going to learn and do my research so I won't be put in this situation again. But right now, today, I am in that situation. I just want to know, what do you think I should do? File Chapter 7 or bankruptcy or...
Yeah, since it's difficult, because it sounds like you got a lawsuit against you for some sort of accident, and then you said you have a lawyer, which if you have a lawyer, you know, you really should be communicating with that lawyer in your particular case. But it sounds like you may have a judgment against you with respects to an accident. I don't know if bankruptcy covers those type of injuries. It may. I would definitely tell you to consult a bankruptcy attorney and just speak with them and tell them about your situation, and they'll give you some direction on where to go. But on that situation, I don't know how to instruct you or give you any of my opinion about how you should pursue that matter. But if you have some judgments and debts coming against you and they're dischargeable in bankruptcy, definitely I would suggest that you consult a bankruptcy attorney. Sometimes they're cheap and sometimes they're free. You know, a couple of $100, we have to spend something to get the direction that we need, or we're going to be pummeled by the system or by liability for something that we didn't know we had liability for. So definitely on your situation, I don't know what direction, because I don't have enough of it. If you want to email me, you can email me. But I definitely think that you should have a free consultation, and some of them offer that, and get you an attorney and see what your options are there. All right? Sorry I wasn't as much of a help as I would want to be.
So do you think filing Chapter 7, doing it myself, do you think that would be a smart idea?
I don't suggest that you do a bankruptcy by yourself. Nope.
Okay,
there's too much to the bankruptcy code. Yes, you definitely need an attorney or at least a bankruptcy preparer to be able to help you in that pursuit.
And you said $200 or $300, because I spoke with the lawyer and he said about $1,300. Do you think that's a bit much? And I had to pay $100 for the consultation.
I said for the consultation. I don't know what they charge. You know, for a basic bankruptcy, I've heard that amount that you disclosed, which is $1,300, $1,500. Yeah, I've heard that. And if you have a judgment against you or some liabilities that's in the thousands of dollars, then that might be a viable option for you.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Peace, sister. All right. That's the last call. I appreciate all of our callers, all of our guests that showed up today. Hopefully you were blessed and enlightened by the information. Again, get on the email contact list. And that's going to be debtshow@yahoo.com. All right. Get on that email list. I have 3 webinars going on Thursday. I have a $25 donation made webinar for introduction to debt. Okay. That's for based on request. You need to reserve your seats. They're going to fill up quick. Okay. For those of you that have medial means economically, that is something that will educate you on what debt is and what it is not. I will be answering questions on that webinar. We also have Saturday and Sunday, part 3 of the FCRA, 3:00. Reserve your seats by emailing me. Sunday, the Telephone Consumer Protection Act. For those of you getting phone calls from the debt collectors, $500 to $1,500 you can possibly receive from those phone calls. Again, between our mailbox and our phone, we have a lot of money that we're throwing away every day by not being educated on the laws that are out there, on the liability statutes that are out there. We have no excuses. This show is 4 months old, and if you have not educated yourself and if you are not increasing your economic stability, it is nobody else's fault but yours. Tune in next week, next Tuesday, same time, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll be here April the 3rd. We'll start the new show on Thursday at 8 to 10 p.m. I want to thank the priest for blessing us with his presence. I want to thank the elder Taj Tariq Bey for blessing us with his presence. I just want to say that the website is rbbey. I have it here. RV Bay Publication. RV Bay Publication. That is a great website, wealth of information. Support the elder. Support the sister, the mother, Roz Mariah Bay. They're doing a great job at uplifting your spiritual knowledge, your esoterical knowledge, your historical perspective on who you are. Want to thank all my testimonials that showed up today. Appreciate you sharing your success. Make sure you get on that email contact list. There's a lot of things going on this year. The High Frequency Radio Network Seminar coming up in April in Atlanta, Georgia. You definitely want to be prepared for that. Get those webinars so you can have the money to be able to fly out and support the network, to be able to pay for your education, donate to your education. One letter, $2,000 in less than a week based on one webinar. I don't know what else to tell you. Peace and blessings to all. God bless. I thank you for having me. Thanks for the opportunity. We'll see you next week. Peace.